What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
This is Chi.
Mini Del Macho.
And I was upset, but I'm going to hang my problems at the door and be amazing once again.
No, Bobby, that intro, man. I love watching the intro every time.
I fucking love it.
It's so cool looking.
Man. The sound effect, like the music, everything, and it then the way the it test fades of out. Time. Yeah.
Did we ever show Chad that?
Space? Yeah. I sent it to him right away.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, because it's a collaboration between you, Frubs, and Chad, because everybody contributed. Not them unknowing, right? Because Chad did it completely. He did all the imagery without knowing that you were going to do that. You took his stuff, and then Frubs did the audio. Yeah.
Almost everything on the internet is stolen from someone or another, I feel like.
Stolen and modified.
And no such thing as original idea.
Because I just posted something on my Twitch page. I now have a link to my pizza and video games.
So
you can see. That's awesome.
Because I'm always referencing it. It's an imager if you want to see it, but now you can just go to my Twitch page, twitch.tv/Robert_digital. And so I'm trying to find pictures of pizza that I want to use for the little button to get there. And I couldn't find anything I liked until I finally found something from the regular show. I don't know if you guys ever seen that cartoon.
I have.
But I pretty much just took it off of someone else's page. I modified it a little bit, and I put it right back on my page. Oh, there's us. There we go.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's Mordecai and Rigsby eating pizza, playing video games on the couch.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I heard I was playing HOTS, and then I heard the sound that theme makes when you take a screenshot when you're playing.
It kind of winds up, and then it clicks like an old-fashioned camera.
Yeah, kind of like that.
In HOTS?
Well, I was playing HOTS. He's playing Monster Prom. Was there pizza in there? Because I looked
there
over.
There was.
Okay. Yeah. So I heard like a screenshot. Like, did Bobby find
there was pizza?
In the cafeteria. There's slices of pizza on the table.
I'm
up to 43 pictures.
Awesome.
Speaking of funny screenshots, more down the line, Bobby and I actually played a game together this week. That's exciting.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. So before we do listener questions this week, we're going to take a little break. Those of you who are joining us on Twitch will be able to check out our giveaway, the Diplo DLG collaboration playlist. We've got that. We're ready to release it. Sniper's put in a lot of work on it. It's looking good, or sounding good, I should say. And we're going to pick some winners. We've got a couple of games to give away.
It doesn't sound so good, Bobby. I found that people have terrible taste in music.
Well, here's the problem. You ask everyone to list a song from a game that they like or a song that they like from a game. When you put those all together, it's going to make a fucked up playlist.
Right. Yeah.
Like, DJing is a little harder than most people think. Like, picking out the songs that go well together, like, you got to smooth out the transitions. Like, you can't just go from, like, Michael Jackson to, like,
Metallica.
Okay, yeah, Metallica. That's like a rough transition. You maybe want to ease it through with like some Red Hot Chili Peppers or something. There's a good Red Hot Chili Peppers is like, you could put that on like anywhere, anytime, and it like it's just perfect background music, I feel like. But that's I don't know. So I feel, do you think that's the problem with the playlist, like all these together with each other?
No, just terrible music.
Just the song
in any playlist.
I disagree, man. Most of these I like.
Wow.
Except Elwin
Forest.
We're
allowed to talk about the list now, right?
How do people access the list? Because I haven't heard the list.
Well, we put it in our casters.
Oh, it was in a private group chat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with you.
How do other people access this list?
Oh, okay.
Nope. You mean you sent me a message that I never looked at?
Yeah. When does it go live? I don't know. Does it go live today?
Sounds like a 99%
problem.
But
with putting it out in Discord, we're going to be doing that right
when
now.
Can the peasants get it
now?
Okay,
boom. Small.
How can they get it?
By clicking the link in our Discord.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, well, we Small in Twitch channel. Chat just said, did he just talk shit about the Elwin Forest soundtrack?
I totally did. Who was that? Who wants to fight?
That was me. Yeah, I put that song on there.
I know. Song sucks. It's just like,
it's amazing.
It's such background music. It's like generic background music. It's not a good song.
Jitter, it's there jitter, for nostalgia. Jitter.
It's not a song though. It's just like
waiting for this.
Back into the world of Warcraft.
What was your contribution, Minnie?
Mine was Ronald Jenkins' "Stay Crunchy" from a game that's gone through some transitions.
Wait a second. You said not to put a real song in there, like a song from Guitar Hero. And Ronald Jenkins
is very well known.
It's really well known.
But he made this song for this game.
I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Some people just got, there's Offspring in there and like some other.
There's a lot of music used in video games that you know, they get whatever popular music is out at the time. You know, Grand Theft Auto, technically you could pull a lot from that.
Yeah, somebody did. They have like a...
They got a few of those.
Yeah.
That's a good song, though.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean Elvin Forrest doesn't have great background music. If it's in a game,
it's background music, but you can't really call it a song.
Muzak.
Music is music.
Okay.
it's got a beginning and an end. It's a song.
Okay, I can't argue with that.
Hit him, G.
God, you're just like the playground instigator, man.
All right. So the games we've got to give away, let's see, we're going to be giving away Fury, Worms Ultimate Mayhem, Crusader Kings 2. We got a copy of Destiny 2 with some DLC. And also Moonlighter, and what was the other game? Wizard of Legend.
Yeah, brand new game, pretty awesome.
Who can we thank for Destiny 2, Bobby?
Slick Rick the Prick.
Not such a prick today.
No.
Today you shine in the light, sir.
Very unprick-like there.
Yeah.
All right. All right, and we also got some VR.
Yeah, we have,
what's up with that?
We have a Vive and a Vive Pro, thanks to Cheese wheeling and dealing, taking advantage of homeless people.
Shut up!
That's what I understood.
Throw it out there like
that's
that.
That's what I understood.
Exactly
so,
what happened.
I did a favor for our local gamer friend, and in repayment, we are he's loaning out his Vive and Vive Pro to us. We're very excited because we didn't have to buy either of these items, but then we do have them in the studio, and we're very excited to set something up and start and are now able to start looking into VR and offer VR reviews and experiences live on stream and whatnot.
I'm going to be playing so much Beat Saber. That's all I want it for. I just want to play Beat Saber.
Yeah.
I want to feel like a samurai Jedi.
I don't think it's going to be as cool as you think it is.
Don't tell me that, man. Don't try
there's
to
some awesome. Have you ever played a VR?
Yeah.
There's some awesome experiences, dude. There's some really cool stuff. But we'll go over that when we play that stuff again.
All right. Cool. Well, that's coming down the line. But right now, let's talk about some games that we have noticed this week. There's a lot of them. And a lot of people have been suggesting games as well. And if you want to do that, you can do that on our Discord. Just put it in listener questions. Any game that you have noticed that you would like to recommend to us. The first one is Mega Man 11. So I didn't know this was even a thing. Apparently, it is... It's been announced for a while, though.
That's the problem with doing it this way.
Opening 20 tabs. Yeah. I don't even know if I
open. Now you're closing them on accident. Now we're fucked.
All right. But Mega Man 11. So this is an actual Mega Man game, and I'm just going to type it into Steam here the good old-fashioned way. You do all this prep, and it doesn't even work. What was that game that came out? They had a Kickstarter for it. It didn't really work out, though.
It was
supposed to be a spiritual successor to Mega Man.
It was garbage. God, what was it called?
I can't remember.
I know what you're talking about,
that's
though.
That's why I'm asking.
Oh, yeah. Something Zero or X.
Yeah, X Zero or something.
Yeah.
It did not do well like many Kickstarters. This, however, looks like a classic Mega Man. Like, if you showed me this, it looks like Nintendo Mega Man with a little bit better graphics.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost keeping that pixelated look.
Mighty Number 9.
Mighty Number 9. That was the game, yes.
See, like X, Zero. I was close.
Exactly.
Had some nines in there. Numbers.
I would say way more than slightly better graphics, dude.
No, this definitely looks like a PlayStation, like a Mega Man X from PlayStation.
Yeah, now that I full screened it.
This looks good.
But the gameplay looks just like old Mega Man's, you know, the boss fights.
Yeah.
And definitely.
The platforming.
It has some cel-shaded, like, it's cel-shaded graphics almost.
Mega Man is basically 3D.
Like a 2.5D.
Yeah.
Yeah,
2.5D. Looks good. I don't know. I'm kind of excited. I really enjoyed the Mega Man games back in the day. Platformers are a tough sale for me. This is available October 2nd, so a little ways off.
Now, I don't know, how much credence to put into this. I don't even know if that's the right word for this. But so when I was growing up in the hard arcades of San Jose, there was arguably the best Street Fighter player we had was this, like, you know, 35-year-old white guy. And he would just, you know, trounce everybody. And this little black kid came up to him. He's like, "Hey, mister, how can I get as good at Street Fighter as you?" And he said, "Kid, play Mega Man." And I was like, "What?" And I was like, in between their two ages, I was like, what do you mean by that? And he's like, "Nothing will help your hand-eye coordination as much as Mega Man." At least at the time. They didn't have little pointy things. Like they have those little games for, what is that called? Where people warm up between rounds.
I know what you're talking about.
Like aim boosters.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Nobody had anything like that. So we had Mega Man.
Yeah.
And we had to walk in the snow.
Mega Man 11 looks good. I'm kind of excited. They don't have they do have a price on it. $29.99, October 2nd. It is being released or developed and published by Capcom. So I don't know. I'm a little skeptical because of that. Maybe this game will play at like 10 frames a second or something.
I'm skeptical because it has Chinese lettering at the top or Japanese lettering. Why?
It's a Japanese game.
They do that with the Mega Mans, even the Legacy Collections. Yeah, if you look at that.
I hadn't seen that. Like Street Fighter doesn't do that. Same company, same country. I don't get it.
I don't know.
Well, it's such a tried and true formula. I hope they don't fuck it up somehow. I feel like it'd be hard for them to fuck it up at this point.
It looks great. I'll give it that. But that's, the only way they could fuck up at this point is if, the bosses aren't fun and maybe balancing or something like that. And frame rates.
Yeah.
I imagine
it's at 30 FPS, people are going to lose their shit for some reason.
I hope they keep it challenging, too.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
It's got to stay hard. But also in this world where everything's getting dumbed down, every game is easier.
Yes.
Maybe they're going to make this easier. But I can't imagine kids buying this. Anyway, this is definitely for the older crowd that wants some nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. Kids probably don't like games that are very hard.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think we're not giving enough credits to our youth. I definitely know a lot of teenagers that are really into the more difficult games.
Mm. I'm kind of surprised so many teenagers.
Are you? Does that make me weird?
No. I work with kids.
I don't discriminate.
It's true. They're awful. All right. Sea of Thieves, The Hungering. So some expansion. Is this an expansion? Is this a DLC? It's free, right?
It's a free update. Yeah.
Yeah. So the big thing with this, it's got a giant shark.
The Hungering for some fun.
Yeah. They put,
or any appeal.
They put in a megalodon. And I guess you have to cooperate with other ships in order to rope one in. And I guess that's basically all I know. But they did say that you could basically tame it and then use it to attack other ships later on.
That'd be awesome.
But I don't know why two or three ships would work together to tame one.
Huh.
And then one ship controls the megalodon and wrecks the other guys that helped them. I don't know how it all works. But at least there's something late game now to go do. This is, a late game, a raid or something.
The game needed more content. I read through some of the patch notes on this, and they actually made some really cool changes. They've got this horn an item you can use where you can cast your voice across the ocean to another ship. So you can tell them if you're friend or foe. It's basically enabling voice comms at larger distance.
That's
if you
cool.
have this thing. And they fixed a couple other things, added some new quests. It's really what this game needed. They need to just keep adding stuff to it.
Yeah, the world is great. They just got to fill the world with shit now, a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't you can't make it like a GTA where just people are just walking around all over the place, robbing each other and stuff. But
or can you? That would be pretty fun.
But because then you take away the beauty, Gigi. You don't have it. It's a natural, beautiful island. I just saw that. The beach and the beach from the movie The Beach.
Oh, with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, in Koh Phi Phi over in Thailand.
Uh-huh.
They just closed it because it was. Tourists had ruined it. Nobody's allowed to go there I think they're going to shut it down for some years and let there's no fish. There's no wildlife.
Really?
People just trample it. I went there. There were so many people. So many people.
Wow.
So yeah, they had to shut it down. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, just don't fill the sandy beaches with NPCs. Everything else. I don't know. I don't care.
It doesn't make me want to come back to the game.
Not yet.
I don't know. I don't have that much time on my hands.
We wouldn't even be to the level, that's what I didn't jump in. I was like, okay, we can go tame a megalodon. Guess what? We had trouble taming chickens. So I knew that content wasn't for me.
Yeah, uh-huh. But knowing that there's more out there, that makes me want to play a game. The mm-hmm. reason I don't play any other MMOs except for WoW is because I know, there's a large end game content there.
Nigh infinite stuff to do in that game.
All right, this next game is something...
Before we get into that, I forgot to put it into the intro, I recently did a listener interview with Duck, so we'll be having that at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, at the end of this one, that's really cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Did you want to be known as Duck or Squadron of Idiots?
We get into that in the podcast, okay. Into the interview.
He has a split personality disorder.
Yeah.
All right. This next game is called Postscriptum. So this was mentioned by one of the developers of Battlefield 5. When they're talking about Battlefield and they're talking about making games, realism, how that plays into them, and you know, what level do you want to, or what level of realism do you want to have in your game? Like he kind of mentioned this one offhandedly, and I looked it up and it looks really good. So it's a first person sim shooter that's supposed to provide a super authentic World War II combat experience.
All right.
It's interesting that he mentioned that without it being out. So I guess that developer must have had early access to it, right? In order for him to reference it.
Well, he
kind
of mentioned it like, you know, well, this game looks like a really good experience. Didn't talk much in detail about it. But yeah, I don't know. It looks
real, realistic. But it doesn't look as fun as Battlefield. Let's be real with ourselves here because...
Yeah. Well, that's what I was talking about last week. Realism is bleeding out from a flesh wound in the field. That's realism. Nobody wants to do that. That sucks. So it depends. And also making sure you have enough gun. Like, I heard the other day, I listened to some military podcasts, 9-1 for each, in the military, 9 support people for each 1 fighter. There's 9 people. So like nurses, supply guys, food guys.
In my experience, that sounds really low.
Really?
Like, I would say at least double that.
I think that's the people that are away. Like the people like in Vietnam.
Right.
It's 9-1. But that's not including the people in the States.
Okay. Is there a stay-at-home Navy wife support class that I can...
all that stuff.
That I can play? No, just kidding.
Anyway, it's all super boring. Like military super boring. You need to... Hopefully Battlefield 5 and maybe this game, you know, take the fun parts and leave the monotony to... Although Bobby would love some sort of like Inventory Manager 2000 military...
I don't know if we have enough bombs, sir.
Well, there is a game that does... it doesn't have to do with military, but it does kind of handle something like that. This was suggested by Mayo. It's called House Flipper. This has been showing up on Steam, at least on my feed for the last couple days.
And then it's been on Twitch streams quite a few times, too. It looks super interesting.
Yeah. So it's a game where you become a one-man renovation crew. You buy a house, you remodel it, and then I guess you sell it. So, you repair and remodel.
That's a lot of what I do, what that guy's doing.
Just
right there. It's not that
walls.
Easy, by the way.
It's like putting a sledgehammer to the wall.
Yeah. Can't take a stone wall with one-hand sledgehammer.
I would love to flip my parents' home. If there's one thing I would do before I die, it's flipping my parents' house.
The one with dirt,
I would love to do that.
Dirt floors?
I don't even aspire to have children. I just want to, dirt floors, exactly. Yeah.
Palm leaf floors.
I just kind of want to like go back home and make some good changes, you know.
Bobby, this is putting all the like manual labor in one game for you.
Yeah, what was that game where you clean stuff up?
Space cleanup.
Visceral.
Yeah, clean
space
up.
Space Viscera.
Oh, damn. That's a screenshot of my parents' house.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding.
No, you're not.
So this game is $20. Single player only, though. I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool to have some...
Mexicans? Oh, son of a bitch.
We went
you
there.
You son of a bitch.
No white guy's going to do this alone. Let's be real.
No, they do it for fun because they actually get a shit ton of money from it.
They sit in the truck and then yell when something goes wrong.
Viscera cleanup detail. Thanks, Mace.
Yeah. So this game came out May 17th. Pretty new. Reviews are decent. I don't know, man. This seems like a stream game. You know, something you'd stream for a wacky time. But
I feel like it'd be fun with VR and it would also...
Gee, you just build a farm
and then
go to your mom's house and then clean it up. Like, you don't need games for this. Just fucking do it.
Just do it in real life.
Oh, how about this, though? Okay, it's got DLC that's free called Apocalypse Flipper.
I could have been a farmer's wife, I suppose.
Apocalypse Flipper.
Yeah, so expand your house flipper nuclear safety options with the Apocalypse Flipper. Apocalypse is spelled wrong. That's always classy.
Apocalypse?
That's spelling errors on your Steam page. Yeah, so 5 new houses with fallout shelters. Okay. Now we're talking.
Okay.
You can build a bomb shelter. You can be that crazy,
prepper.
The survivalist guy.
You know, Duck. Actually, I think Duck would like this game a lot.
But you're doomed to be alone. with a single player game. So
it's so funny that they have these types of games because they appeal to everybody's like that universal sense of wanting to see something like cleaned or fixed up. You know, like those YouTube videos, the oddly satisfying things. Yeah. Like that's what I feel like this is in game form.
It's funny that you were saying that because I have zero interest in this at all. I guess because I do it for real.
Like, you do it for
real. I'm like, no, thanks. You'd literally have to pay me what I get earned to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So this has been confirmed to a certain extent. They're going to have a video at E3 that's going to explain more, but it has been confirmed that Assassin's Creed Odyssey is going to be in ancient Greece.
Didn't they just release one?
That was Egypt.
Yeah, the Egypt. Dude, this is a Assassin's
different brown
Creed.
People.
So, Assassin's Creed comes out virtually every.
No, do we get one every month?
This is ridiculous, man.
I have to say that like when I reviewed Origins and I returned it, remember under 2 hours, my rig was really acting up, and a lot of that had to do with my rig and not the game. So I'm definitely going to give that game another shot.
Especially, a lot of people seem to like Origins.
Yeah, a lot of people did, and I usually go with I usually agree with everybody, but
I almost bought it just to see what it would look like on after I built my new computer because I heard it looks amazing.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I played Black Flag and I loved it, but every other Assassin's Creed game just seems so similar to me. But yeah, so ancient Greece, I like that setting. Not a lot of details on it other than that, though.
Bobby, that new pirate game that's coming out, Skull and Bones, did you know that was all based on the ship movements and physics from Black Flag?
You told us that, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Once upon a podcast.
Yeah, he brings up Black Flag all the time, so I probably said it. Or maybe I just learned it. I don't know. So, yeah, Skull and Bones is like their new... They took basically all the assets, everything that was popular out of the pirate part of that
ship minigame.
Yeah, the ship minigame and turned it
into. See, that's funny because Black Flag, from what I've heard, is Assassin's Creed 3 had that ship part in it, but it was really small. And people loved it so much that they made it a lot of the game in Black Flag.
And then now they took that little thing and turned it into a giant thing. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. Never mind. What's next?
All right. Next up, we've got Eden Rising Supremacy. I think this is one that you posted in there, Emilio.
Yes, but I don't remember why, really. I know that it's a four-player something, and that's why it might be a four-player roguelike.
The tower defense.
Oh, it's a tower defense. It's a mix of... it reminded me of a couple games. Orcs Must Die. And what was the one before that one, Bobby? Remember there was a single-player tower defense, and then you...
Yes.
The one that was part first-person shooter and part... Yeah, there was two of them.
What was that called?
Yeah. That was a really good game.
That was good.
This one really reminded me of that. And then there's not Castle Crash. There's one more. Anyway, it's been done before, but this one looks really good.
Sanctum.
That was like way back. One of the first games on Steam that like it just sat there and I thought about buying it. Anyway.
All right, Emilio, is this going to be our new game that replaces Deep Rock?
Yeah, I think... I mean, it could be. It depends on how much fun it is. It has the look... It has a bunch of different towers. The creature types look crazy. Look at all the options.
Yeah, somebody was saying, "Is like, what happened to Vermintide, guys? You guys don't play that anymore." I was like, Deep Rock happened.
Yeah. Well, honestly, what happens is the podcast happens because we got to keep this ball rolling on to the next one.
Keep coming back here.
Well, it's like more
it's the same game.
Yeah.
I got to say Heroes of the Storm. Fun, but just like keep more fun games come out, I guess.
Yep.
So Eden Rising, this isn't out yet?
I don't know. That's all I know about it. Bobby?
Yeah, let's take a look here. Early access.
I was going to buy it.
You can buy it. $15. Yeah.
That's a really good price.
Single player, maybe. Multiplayer, online co-op.
Very positive so far.
So they're saying 30 plus hours of this game.
Sounds good.
That's a lot.
So there's a story or a progression?
Maybe. Hopefully.
Mode to this?
Yeah, possibly. And if there is, maybe it's not in there yet because in early access, sometimes the story is the last thing to get.
Yes, Dungeon Defenders. That's the other one. It's like, it seems a lot less. In Dungeon Defenders, there's like, and in the Orcs Must Die, there's like designated paths that are going to come down and you know they're going to come that way. This looks very like you're just in a field and they're going to come from all directions. It looks like to me.
Orcs Must Die is all like, controlling the flow of orcs to certain areas, yeah, and funneling them in and slaughtering them. This looks very open.
Yeah, yeah, definitely very open.
So, yeah, looking forward to playing that one maybe next week with you guys.
All right. All right, next up we got Moonlighter, one of the games that we're going to be giving away. This game reminded me so much of Legend of Zelda, just from the look. I have no idea if it holds up to that comparison.
Well, the gameplay, it's an action RPG.
Mm-hmm. And well, they said there's some roguelike in it, too.
Oh, is there? I wasn't aware about that. All I know about it is that you're a shopkeeper, and you start with no wares in your little shop or whatever. And then
somewhere.
Yeah, and then night you go out and you adventure for shit so that you can bring it back and sell it during the day. So I imagine that you're... Yeah, look at him get all badass right before he goes out.
Oh, it does look like Legend of Zelda. How cute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of like the whole...
Are you an old man with a cane?
I think you get some sort of... Oh, you maybe pass it on to your...
Well, I think what it is like this kid, he's expecting to be like the shopkeeper for the rest of his life. His parents died, and he's like, wait, why am I doing this? If like everybody that was running the shop is gone now, let me just go adventure.
Ah.
Because that's what I've been wanting to do my whole life.
Welcome to the More Questions Than Answers podcast, where we speculate on what things look like as opposed to looking them up.
Well, it's the on the radar section.
I think it's a great concept because it's not just the adventuring. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's going to have some of that like Stardew Valley type of towns. You know, you're doing stuff for the town as well. Maybe getting the economy up and stuff. Yeah. I don't know.
$20.
I almost bought this.
It looks adorable.
It looks good, yeah, man. With summer coming up and, you know, me having some time off, like, this looks like something I could get into.
Cool. Moving on.
All right. Next up, Worlds Adrift. So this was mentioned, or Sniper requested this one, Worlds Adrift. It was on the Humble Store on sale.
Wow, that's why I didn't look at it at all.
Yeah.
This is actually my wish list on Steam. How much was it on sale for?
It is $24.99, but I don't know how much it is on Humble Bundle right now. I don't know if that sale is still going on. So this is it's an MMO. It's community-crafted MMO.
Interesting.
And it's apparently very much aerial-based. You command Airship. A ship, mm-hmm, and then there's a grappling hook. And that's kind of what turned me off about it, to be honest, the grappling hook.
It looks really cool.
It's probably a lot of fun. But I looked into it. It looked like a fun MMO, but I wasn't going to pay the full price for it. Depending on how much it was in the Humble Bundle, I would have invested. It's got mostly positive reviews, and it's a little different of a take because it's got what's the thing? You saw how he was mining and crafting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's combining both of those worlds of going out, researching for materials and resources, and building your ship up. So I don't know.
Does each player have a ship or? Do you run that with your crew?
You can pick and choose if you want to make community ship or make your own.
Yeah,
it's definitely
pretty fucking sweet.
It's definitely meant to be community-based.
Yeah, there's a lot of collaborative things in this game.
Yeah, and you can kind of see that it's definitely community-based or community-built, or would you say? Like, it's made by the players themselves, crafted. Right?
Yeah,
because the animations are pretty janky and stuff, but you can definitely see everything looks like what it's supposed to be doing. Yeah. But it looks fun.
So $25 for that. Recent reviews are mixed. About 1,000, 2,000 people playing.
And there's no monthly fee for this?
I don't think so. If they have, nobody does that anymore on MMOs. You can't really get away with that. I don't know. Whenever someone suggests a game to me and I hear the words MMO, I'm like, let me stop you right there. That's a hard no for me. Like, unless it's World of Warcraft.
That's a cool thing, Bobby, that I hadn't seen how many products they have in their account. So that way you can see if they're just making accounts in order to review. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
How? Go down, Bobby. These people have very little games. 90, 24. What's the next one? 93. That seems like very little, huh? I guess they came in.
Yeah, it probably doesn't count free-to-play games. But yeah, that isn't a whole lot. How many do you have in your library? What does a normal person have in their Steam library?
I have no idea. Yeah, it's got to be 200, over 300.
Like 7,000?
For those who don't know, Bobby has, what is it?
8, it's 000? Like 6,800.
Oh, yeah. 6,800.
It's a lot. It's a lot of shit.
Yeah. I think I have
actual shit. 400. Shit.
little tiny pieces of shit.
You got 300 or 400?
Yeah.
Before I started buying all the bundle trash, I think I had about 600 or 700. But I bought a lot of shit back then too. There just wasn't as much to buy. Like Steam really blew up, I think, around like 2013. Okay, so Worlds Adrift. Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard no for me, but could be cool.
I would check it out for free just to report on it, but that's about it. I wouldn't buy it because I know I wouldn't play it. Or I bet if Chad were here, he'd be like, we got to try this out. He would love. He would play every fucking MMO.
I'm on the low end of games. I only have 208. So,
wow.
Which I think is a lot because there's so many games that I have on my list that I look at and I'm like, oh, I should probably play that and beat that, but never do.
Well, I used to be into those seasonal events, like the summer stuff and the winter stuff, and I used to buy like whatever, like the whole like Half-Life pack and the whole Doom pack or whatever.
Yeah, for me, it's I only buy it when I know I'm going to play it. So
yeah, I don't do that anymore, but yeah, it's just, that's probably how I got that 400.
And that's 208 with the oldest account in the room, might I add. But Bobby's still more impressive than me.
Do you think we could go a podcast without you mentioning that?
I got to bring it up.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
All right, so there was a teaser trailer for Fallout 76. They went about this really strangely. So they had like a wait screen on the Bethesda Twitch channel for like a day. It was a long time.
Yeah, about 24 hours.
Yeah, and everybody was just hanging out waiting for this big announcement.
At its peak, it had 144,000 people watching it. DLG in their place so we know. Mm-hmm. Where we stand in things, there's four people here working super hard. Not really. And they had a bobblehead. And they had 144,000 people watching them. All right.
It was like a viral stream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then even at midnight, when I checked it a second time, I had 50,000 people.
So when they finally ran the trailer, it was this game, Fallout 76, which, I don't know, I'll leave this to the Fallout fans over here.
Well, apparently there's been a lot of references in the other games to Shelter 76.
So this is like a thing.
It's like a thing, yeah.
Okay.
They reference it in like a lot of weird things happened at Shelter 76.
See, I immediately thought like it was some weird Soldier 76 tie-in. I don't know why, but the 76 like looked like that.
Bobby, get Blizzard off the brain for just 5 minutes. Focus. No, but it does seem like from the trailer, from what I picked up from it, it doesn't seem like you're like all the other ones, like you're going to open the vault and go out into the wasteland. It really seems to
like
me
like they just hit you with the post-apocalyptic.
It is post-apocalyptic, but you're in the vault, and it's more about managing the vault and keeping it alive, and then weird shit's going to be happening, and you have to keep everybody, you know, alive and stuff. It seems to me there's also some speculation that corroborated with what I was thinking. So it does seem like it might be like Fallout Shelter, you know, that little mobile game,
yeah,
to the nth degree. That's what I'm guessing, but there's not much more out there.
Fully fleshed out and do like a big AAA product. Oh, yeah.
And the other thing is that it's going to be online. It's going to be maybe an MMO cooperative community management. But there's all, yeah. Because a vault isn't big enough for a MMO. Not at all. So I don't know. Maybe.
I doubt they'll go the MMO route.
You know, you think?
It's a huge investment to
Bethesda.
Do that.
They're gigantic.
I think did
they learn?
Maybe
from
not an MMO, but some sort of persistent type of game,
right?
You know, with a persistent world that people can come in and out of, and there's different things to do.
That was my guess. I was just having this thought right now. Maybe the shelter. What is it called? Yeah,
vault.
The vault is the hub, and then you get together with your crew. Then you go out on instances.
Yeah,
like kind of like the old, which would be the wasteland, and then come back with loot. It would be the central hub or whatever, the city.
Yeah, you get more gear so you can travel farther out.
Yeah, that's where the auction house and shit would be and stuff like that. I don't know.
According to this article, they didn't name drop DayZ. So maybe you just jump into the world, which is just a player-limited server, and it's a survival combat game, perhaps? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But I'm excited. I mean, you guys know.
When we're getting more information on this?
but that's the time.
Probably at E3.
Put our money sometime.
When is
E3? Guessing 2019.
I'm tired of reading E3 without
the summer. I don't know. That's all I know.
No, it's really soon.
It's in June.
Okay. In June, yeah.
It's usually in June.
Yeah, but about going to E3, I already talked about this. Like, we're way better off just staying at our computers than actually going. It's a clusterfuck.
For sure.
All right.
They last game on the list.
I just took off my socks, so this is going to get real interesting real quick.
Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon.
So this is a 2D game that's in the vein of Castlevania. I believe it's by one of the OG developers, too. But it looks like Nintendo-style graphics of maybe even Super NES. Style graphics of Castlevania. This one has you take control of three characters like simultaneously that you can switch through, like a wizard, your regular warrior guy, and then some like ninja-ish girl.
Like Trine.
Yeah, like kind of like Trine, yeah. Single player. It looks pretty good. I'll be playing this definitely because I'm going to be out of town. I'll be having just a little laptop. So I'll be talking more about this next week, I'm sure.
Cool.
The title of this game just reminds me of, I don't know, a tampon commercial or something.
The Curse of the Moon.
Bloodstained.
Bloodstained. Yeah. Curse of the Moon.
Curse of the Moon. Sounds like a werewolf. Overwhelmingly positive reviews and only $10. Not bad.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's talk about some games that we have been playing. Should I get right into Agony, or do we want to do something else?
I figure that's the big one. Yeah. Everything else we've all talked about before.
Did you guys watch him play Agony?
I streamed the entire game. Yeah. 100% of that game. Well, maybe like 98% of this game I streamed.
The only thing about that, Bobby, is like I feel like you can't touch on how scary it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The solitude doesn't add to the horror of the game.
Right.
But you know what? It really didn't get that scary after a while. I mean, after just seeing crucified children and, you know, spit roasted bodies just constantly, you get over it. You know? By the end of the game, I was just like, okay, whatever.
Right. How long was the game?
It took me about 6 hours to beat it, I think.
Did you do it in one day?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. This was over the course of a couple playthroughs. It went pretty quickly, though. I didn't get stuck in a lot of points. So when I was 75% of the way through the game, they released an update, rather large one, like a 4-gig update where they addressed a lot of the problems people were having. And then I continued the game from that point on. But I didn't have any issues. One of the changes that they made to Agony was they made it easier. They
really
eased up on some of the puzzles. I didn't find the puzzles that challenging. So anyway, this game has been like,
it's got a lot of hype. You're also smarter than the average bear, Bobby.
Yeah, I played a lot of these times.
When you're talking to the comic folk, you have to kind of like pretend to be one of them.
Dumb it down a little bit.
Yeah.
So
they were super difficult.
I don't know. At the very end of the last podcast, I was like, I don't know. I hope this game isn't shit. And the reviews for this have been pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like, all around the board, people have been criticizing this pretty heavily. And rightfully so. There's a lot of things. You okay there?
Well, the baby just got eaten by a pot plant.
Oh, yeah. See? Not even phased, man. Not even phased.
I think the imagery is gorgeous, man.
Oh, gosh.
It's very gory, and it's very... They nail that. Like,
yeah.
They nail the imagery, and the creation of the levels were amazing. I would start out in one level, and I would see something way off in the distance, like this big fiery thing that I knew was where I had to go, and I would work my way through this level and get closer and closer. And it was a huge
labyrinth
area, not even a labyrinth, but like open spaces. Sometimes there are closed spaces. And I would slowly get closer and closer. So I was impressed by the design of the levels. Just the effort they put into crafting all of this, the monsters, like the attention to detail,
production value.
Yeah. Right. Now the graphics, they aren't great, especially the martyrs, the people that you run into, like the actual souls burning in hell. They look pretty bad, and they kind of take you out of it. The animation on some of the demons too are a little janky, and that kind of takes you out of it as well.
Yeah.
But for everything there is to criticize about this game, I still enjoyed it. I still played it all the way through. I still wanted to play it. So I don't know. There must have been something good about it. I mean, it's super gory and gross. And if that's like that, my concern was I was going to go into it and that's all it was going to be. And there really wasn't much of a story. I mean, you're this dude who goes into hell. You don't remember anything because they wipe your memory. And you're just told that if you find the Red Goddess, she can give you back your memory and possibly send you back to Earth, like bring you back to life. So you just do that. And there's kind of a twist at the ending. But it's not like a big one. And there's not a whole lot else going on. I really thought they could do a bit more with it. But, you know, whatever.
Do you think it was rushed? Because, like, it seems to me that all the production value and the polish was kind of there, It seems like it didn't take that much more.
There was a lot of collision problems. People were getting stuck. People were falling off of things. There was a lot of technical issues with it. And yeah, some people said it might have been rushed. But here's the thing, dude. Mad Mind Studio, who the fuck are they? Like, this isn't like a AAA game. And people were kind of expecting that. So I kind of went into this expecting something like mid-level. Not like indie, but something mid-level. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
that's what you got, right?
Yeah.
And then do you feel like the videos were disingenuous? The gameplay videos? Because I thought the graphics looked fantastic.
What you see in all the trailers, that's just what the game's like. That's
so
exactly.
How could you say the graphics look bad? I thought the graphics were amazing. And everything that I'm seeing here looks amazing.
It's the particular models.
Yeah, it's particular. The martyrs. Let me see if I can find one. They probably wouldn't highlight that. But like, yeah, all this, you see all that. The people that are burning in hell also act as a bit of a checkpoint system. So you find these mirrors, and those are your actual checkpoints. Once you unlock one, it's like that's where you go back to if you die. However, as you go along, you can find these people with bags over their heads. You take the bag off, and then if you die, not by falling off a ledge, but by getting killed by a demon, then you go into like this soul form, and you can fly through the air, and you can possess one of those martyrs. Eventually, later in the game, you can possess bigger demons, but then you can continue your game on from that point. So they act as these mini checkpoints, which I thought was an interesting way to do it.
So much that you say is like appealing to me. Like I'm like, okay, sounds good. So
yeah, I mean, I liked the game.
Yeah,
I'm more curious about how the game played out for you in terms of when I was watching your gameplay. It seemed like you were navigating, and just like in Outlast, you kind of had to be wary around like the boss monster. That's kind mm-hmm. of not boss monster, but the one that is lurking around, and once it catches you, it's instant death. And I, surprisingly enough, saw you walking past and just kind of not even regarding some of the really creepy monsters and creatures all over the place. What posed as a threat as you were playing through the game? How did you move from point A to B, and actually, like, what was the gameplay?
Well, there's a talent tree system, and you can put points into being more stealth, and also being able to hold your breath for longer so you can like swim underwater. And that also helps you hide from the demons because they kind of sense you. So as you progress through the game, it gets easier to sneak past the monsters and or just run right past them. Sometimes you can just make a run for it, and that works as well.
And after a while, you learn their detection.
Yeah, you learn like about what range you have and what's safe.
And there's no real combat. So when these monsters are after you, are you basically trying to hide again, or are
There's a what do they call that when you have to mash a button, or
quick time event?
Yeah, there's quick time events if you get caught by some of them. And then there's a lot of cutscene fights. The last one in particular, there's where you have to do something in between, and then the battle actually plays out in a cutscene. But yeah, there's not really any combat. You can sneak up behind the monsters, push them off of ledges, but really it's just about sneaking around. One thing about this game too that I liked, it didn't feel as linear as it was. I'm pretty sure the game was linear, but I felt like I was just wandering around completely lost, and then somehow I just ended up where I needed to be.
That's really good programming.
So either that's what the game is like.
Design.
Like there's many ways to reach your goal or your objective. Or they just did a very good job in making me feel like I was just happening upon the right way. Like I felt like I was wandering through hell. They nailed that part. It turns out I looked up because there was multiple endings here, and I looked up like how do you get these multiple endings? Because I have no idea which one I got. And it seems like they're trying to push you into playing the game more than once.
Right.
Like they want you to replay the game as a succubus, which you can do once you beat the game originally. And you can also, in the fourth level, you can open up the cathedral, which is this whole hidden area, and then you can discover stuff in there as well. So there seems to be...
Are you going to do it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not anytime soon. The one thing I didn't get out of this game, and this is not necessarily a bad thing, but when I play a lot of these scary games, Outlast, whatever, Alien Isolation, they're stressful. Like, not only is there a mm-hmm. bunch of scary shit, it's dark, it's creepy, that doesn't really scare you, but after a while, it just kind of wears you down, and you're just like, oh, God, and you almost feel frustrated.
Being on edge for hours.
Yeah. And I didn't really get that with this game. It hangs its hat more on the gore than it does, like, the scary or the creepy part of it. But then again, when you stream something, everything's less scary because you got people in chat talking to you. You feel like you're hanging out with your friends. Like, it may have been that as well. So, I don't know. $27 for this game, this is obviously not for everyone, and I'm not just talking about the graphic content. Like, I don't see a lot of people enjoying this type of game, but I'm totally happy with it.
But if it look, would you say that if it looks appealing to you, is it worth the whatever it was? Because it was on sale.
If you liked Outlast, if you liked Alien, I played all the way through Alien Isolation. I feel like a lot of people.
That game took forever.
Yeah, that was like a 24-hour game. It was rough. If you like that game, like if you like those types of games, and you're like, oh shit, I've always wondered what it'd be like to, you know, wander around in hell. Like, yeah, absolutely, this game was totally worth it.
I hope they improve because it seems to me like another 10% of work could have got it. 100% of the way there, you know what I mean? It mm-hmm. seems like they did so much work, but just felt just short of pulling it all together.
They did a lot of things right.
Yeah.
I think the hype is what killed it, though. Like, people were hyped for it. And
I think those videos was what... I mean, I was expecting a lot out of this game. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it seems like it was a good game, like a solid game.
Even the way you used to push this.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm on the hype train.
There could have been a few little things, but like... I felt like a lot of the complaints are a little nitpicky. My biggest issue, I felt like they could have done something more with the story. They reference a lot of biblical things. They keep referencing Nimrod. Like, that guy comes up all the time in this.
Did you look up the other endings? Like, watch a video on them?
They aren't out there. Like, I just found a playthrough. Like, someone did a playthrough or a walkthrough, full walkthrough, and it was like 4 hours long. Mm-hmm. That just came up the other day.
And wow.
Yeah, this
game's just so... Did you record your... Yeah, you could post it, I guess. And probably get some hits off of it.
I don't save my replays on Twitch. But yeah, there are a few parts I got stuck. It took me 6 hours. I don't think I'd have to edit it down a little bit.
No, not the whole thing. Just the ending. Just so at least there's one ending on there.
Yeah, it'll be on there. It's probably on there by now. It just takes a little while when these games come out, unless they're like a super big AAA title and people beat them in like the first day they come out. But I'm satisfied with this game.
Good.
I liked it.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
I was surprised you bought it when I saw you playing. I was excited to hear this review.
I was like, fuck, I really want to play this game. Like,
fuck it.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to play it right now. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. And I played it all the way through. I mean, how many games do you play to completion?
We're going to call that the lab monkey rule. Only buy games if you're going to play it right there and then.
See, yeah. I enjoyed Outlast. And when I was watching Bobby, I didn't see too much of the game. I didn't see any cutscenes or real combat. I saw him lurking around a lot and solving puzzles. So this game, to me, from what I perceived and what he's telling me and with all the mixed reviews, I feel like for me, I would probably wait for the right season for maybe for them to work on the game a little bit more and for a much lower price. I'm glad Bobby liked it, but I feel like for the general population, would you recommend they get it now or wait a little bit longer?
Well, I mean, the second patch fixed a lot of things. I don't know if it's going to be perfect. People are still going to have issues with it. Yeah, maybe when it's on sale.
I'd wait till Halloween, 10 p.m.
That's kind of what
yeah, it'll definitely be
like
on sale.
Looking at the game for now.
Bobby, how many people are playing this right now? I want to for the first time out. If it is, I hope they got their money's worth.
So yeah, they sold a lot of copies.
Good,
but this game got hammered on the reviews.
And the critics,
not
right?
Just yeah, not just like user reviews, but like. Like IGN and
Metacritic gave it 46.
You know, all the other outlets that review games. But I don't know, man. Like, you can't go by what everybody else says. If you like something,
fucking
that's
do
your
it.
Own personal preference there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always appreciated those reviews when they were like, well, you know, we gave it a 45. But if you're a diehard Dinosaurs fan, this is probably something you should pick up. You know what I mean? Like, if it's something you're into, fucking play it. It gives you that extra 20% that you're gonna want. You brought up a patch. I don't know if you said if it helped the game or hurt the game, or could you tell the difference?
The patch?
Yeah.
I played like the last hour or two of the game on the patch.
So you probably wouldn't know the difference anyway.
Yeah, I think I was past most of the content that I was trying to fix, but the game did crash on me, I think twice, and there is a lot of stuttering. Like, it has a tough time running, and I think a lot of that was these giant levels. You feel like you're just this little speck of dust in this massive environment. And this game, you're constantly walking around and just looking at stuff. Like, I was always just stopping to admire something in the game, and
that's awesome.
That's a big selling point.
Yeah, for sure. I only bring it up because I didn't put it in the notes, but State of Decay got a 20 gigabyte fucking update Jeez. Yesterday.
Yeah. Well, how big is the game normally? What's the file size?
About that size. Maybe 30. Yeah. Oh. Maybe
it's
30.
Humongous.
Yeah.
I installed it and I forgot how much, but it was huge.
Oh, the update?
No, the installation.
Not I think
the
it was
update.
Like 30. It wasn't huge.
I think.
But anyway, 20 gigabyte update. Apparently, they fixed fucking shit ton of stuff. Hopefully more on that next off. Week if I can bring myself to play it.
I know.
Yeah.
Those all right. first impressions, they're important.
You know what turns out? I think surviving a zombie apocalypse isn't very fun, is what it comes down to. If you're gonna go down to brass tacks and just like, what is it? It's you scrounging around for food, being smart, not making any mistakes, and growing a community that has different personalities. Yeah, none of that's really fun. So what's fun? Getting a machine gun, blowing their heads off. Oh without any moral issues because they're zombies, right? That's what's fun about zombies.
I think that's
the issue. The game is
zombie
not...
Land
surviving
is what's fun about
a zombie apocalypse, oddly enough, just sounds like raising your family.
For all the listeners that are listening, here's my... I'm going to give it away. If the zombies come out, right, this is what you do. You go... Then nobody else is going to think about this. You go out to the museums. That's where you're going to find your suits of armor, your pole staffs, your zombie killing machinery. Nobody else is going to. They're all going to go to the gun shops. They're going to be out of ammo in a week. Don't worry about it. You're going to last. Look at that knight. Nobody's going to shoot a knight. There's a knight going down the street. You're going to be fine. All right, moving on.
There was I remember a commercial.
Get a squire, help you bid that shit on, because it's rough.
It would be rough. A while back, there was a commercial about a guy who got like a tax refund or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to spend it on a suit of armor. And like, what the fuck are you going to do with a suit of armor?
Yeah.
And he's just like walking around town with it. He's getting hit by shit. Like he's just laying in bed and the ceiling fan just comes crashing down on him. He's like, best investment ever.
Wow.
All right. Who wants to talk about...
anything else? Deep Rock. Let's talk about Deep Rock.
Yeah. What more can we say? This is week 3, week 4.
Yeah, we're still having a lot of fun. There came out a new game mode that we just tried out, which is stressful. Like, this is really stressful.
It's the only thing that's ever challenged us.
Yeah, I
really.
Think so. Like, all the other ones we've gone through, there's sometimes a challenge, sometimes we don't make it, and it's more of a like exploratory.
But we make it more, way more, 80-90%.
Yeah, and last night there's a new game mode that I think we tried 5 times and got it once.
Yeah, and that was...
sounds like something I want to try.
And that was rushed.
It has to be rushed.
Get the shit, we got to go. Like, no fucking about. Everybody get on point because...
Was it a constant swarm?
So basically what the game mode is like you spawn into a giant cavern. And in this cavern there's like a whole bunch of rare minerals, but you have to mine them fast because...
It's super rich.
Yeah. Super rich, but swarms come like every couple minutes, and every swarm that comes gets harder and harder. Like if you're at the 4th swarm, you got to get out now or you're dead.
Maybe 5th.
I think we made it to maybe the 5th, and that's when like the dreadnoughts started coming out,
and dreadnoughts are fucking. It takes all 4 of you a lot of resources to kill one dreadnought.
Yeah.
So, you're trying to get, you know, the side quest, right?
Yes.
We weren't even trying to get the side quest done. All we were trying to do is get those 10 fucking stones in the fucking thing so we could get the shit out of there because we kept dying and dying.
Yeah. Are there different hazard difficulties on this mode as well?
Yeah. Which one were we doing?
I think we were playing 3.
Hazard
3.
Okay.
Is this a game mode or was it a mission? Because I know when you're at your base, you choose the mission you want to do.
Yeah, there's different.
A different mission type, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Different mission type.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got wrecked over
and over. But you still go into a procedurally generated asteroid and you're mining the crap out of it.
Right.
So is it more or less the same thing? Or is it just a different mission?
Well, there's just no exploring.
No exploring.
Yeah. No, you're just in one big cavern.
Yeah.
And there's shit everywhere. Yeah. But the monsters just keep coming.
We have to get
a way of survival almost.
Yeah.
I might like that even more than the exploration.
It's a lot of fun.
I feel like there's a lot of idle time. Moving around the cavern.
Yeah, there's no idle time here.
There's no
idle time. Okay, good.
And the other thing, too, is there's no mule.
Try it out.
There's no mule to deposit your shit.
Okay.
Everything has to be ran back to your ship.
Okay.
And so I was the only miner. So I was like, I was saying no alcohol for me, please. No, I was the only miner. So I was getting the big things and throwing it. Because I had to keep mining.
Yeah.
So I kept throwing like a football and passing it off to these guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they had their own, I don't know what they were doing. I was very busy. I'm sure they were busy doing stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. But like we were all getting frustrated with each other.
Yeah. But we were there with like two level ones as well. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this sounds like it's designed for people who have leveled up a little bit.
Maybe. I'm sure we could change the difficulty.
Well, you could change the difficulty and make, you know, less. We're on a hazard three.
Yeah, so. Out of five, there's zero hazard up to four.
Is it five?
Well, no, there's a four, but there's also zero hazard, so you got to count that one.
Oh,
zero,
gotcha,
one,
gotcha.
Two, three, four. So the five difficulties.
All right. Well, anyway, so continue to have more fun. And this is one of those things where, like, you know, you're kind of, you're enjoying the game as the game gets better. And it just keeps, you know, and that just makes it better. I mean, it's great to watch it grow as you're playing it. Not always do you buy, a lot of the time you buy the early access, you like it, and then you come back later. Right. Or maybe you don't. But on this one, I'm going to continue playing it as it gets better, and that's fun too.
It's really nice because it is very much a drop in and drop out type of game too. You could go in, play a mission, and wait a couple days, or play a couple missions back to back. It's really,
it really
one of those
matter.
Games
yeah.
where you don't have to invest time over time to feel like you're getting anywhere with it. It's drop in and drop out
because you're not affecting. You're really only upgrading yourself, and when you come in, sure, it gets a little bit harder for your friends, but then you're also playing with your friends at that point, and then you could hop out. The cool thing was when we were playing threes, somebody else jumped in. They're like, hey, can we join you? You're like, yeah, just here's an invite. Boom, he's in the game. There's four of us, just that easy. Bobby came in, he's like, hey guys, you guys ready to play? After hours of me bugging him, and we're like, no dude, we have four now. He's like, later dweebs or something like that.
But we got the chance to play with Chad. I think it's like the first game I've played with Chad ever.
Yeah, the biggest thing out of that,
the big
takeaway there was new Chad and old Chad were playing together.
Did
they get along?
Yeah, they did pretty
did
well.
Did you
it was awkward for a little bit.
Record it? Did you stream that?
We streamed it, yeah.
Okay. Might have to watch a replay.
Well, I'm glad there's challenging missions. That's what really keeps a game like this fun. I was talking about last week, Killing Floor 2. You're doing the same shit over and over again, just in different environments. But right. The reason it's fun is the challenge. The challenge is a huge part of it.
And there is another, like a test server up that you can like opt into. But they say it's kind of buggy. Might be some crashes. But there's a whole bunch of new content on here. We weren't even playing on that one.
I'd rather wait till it's ready.
Oh, really? Originally.
That's how I like
it. Well, speaking of test servers,
boom.
I did get into the PUBG test server to try out the new map. The new map is called, and I might be butchering the pronunciation, sadly, for an Asian girl, but Sunhawk. And
Chinook? Is it Chinook?
previously known as Savage. And it's the 4x4 PUBG map, jungle-based, very much all the different names in this map. So 4x4 means it's a quarter the size of the traditional maps like Miramar and the classic one. I don't remember the name. And so, and it has multiple grids, but you'd be surprised the distance you can travel, especially from the airplane dropping down. The newest thing about this map is the dynamic weathering, the fact that it's much smaller. And then on top of that, no matter where you drop, you're dropping hot. So because of that, they increase the type of loot and also the frequency of it.
Yeah.
So no matter where you drop, you're going to be able to pick up a gun and immediately start firing off.
Interesting.
And it's more common that it's a rifle versus a pistol or a shotgun, or an SMG. So it's meant to be fast paced.
Yeah.
And did you experience that? Like,
very much so.
Yeah.
So the first game that I played, we actually got a chicken dinner.
A lot
of fun. Hell yeah! Brand new map.
And with your brother?
Yeah, with my brothers and a couple of our friends.
What percentage of kills did you get, Chi?
I don't kidding. Remember, but we, so when you drop, you're dropping hot. So you basically have to take control of the area that you drop.
If you want all the guns. Yeah.
Yes. And then once you take control, you better hope that there's good loot left over.
Right.
Because most of the time when you're killing people, you're destroying their vests, their helmets. So, but
that's
there's
why I only
so
shoot
much.
People in the feet. Usually yeah. it doesn't work out because I don't win.
Oh my
but
God.
I get all their shit if they die.
Yeah.
Foot damage.
And it's such a small environment, and it's not like Miramar where it's a lot of ups and downs. It's more similar to the Russian map. And so there's a lot of cover and trees and little huts. So I really appreciate it for that. There's some rivers and water. Some rivers, but they're very shallow. And
they're not
I don't think
big ones.
Yeah,
from the other
and
one, right?
I don't think it's going to impede.
And it's half the size,
on.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
so
it's not half the size. It's a quarter of the size.
Quarter of the size.
Oh,
quarter
and
of the still
size.
100 players.
Yeah.
And do you? Is it better? Do you just like it better than the other two?
It's quicker.
Yeah.
And it's more or less on the same level, but I would rather play it now than not, because your kill count, you no matter what, should be getting a couple kills as long as you're not dying the first minute.
Right.
And so it's more fun in that sense.
There's less run, die.
Yes.
Now it's either kill or die right away.
Basically. So it's more like a death match than it is PUBG, but it's still very much PUBG
right.
in the elements of you have it's not too difficult to strategically place yourself other than the drop. I feel like the drop is the most important strategic placement versus going into the center.
That's the most exciting part anyway for until the end game. The drop is the most important.
Yeah.
If you drop hot. But now you're forced to drop hot, so like that's fun. I like it. I've been waiting for this. Like every time I play PUBG, first thing I do is check maps just to see when it goes live. Like like I just said, I don't like test servers for some reason.
Uh-huh.
So I can't. I think this is their last test, and then they're going to go live probably next week.
Yeah, and what's cool too, I said it had dynamic weather. And so fog would roll in, it would rain, and the fog
would start with no fog and then move in?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Or it wouldn't start raining and then it would start
raining.
Truly
is dynamic.
Yes. Yeah. And then the fields, it's jungle. So I would say, I wouldn't call it any particular country, but it's definitely a hodgepodge of Southeast Asia. And
so dense areas mixed with open areas or no?
Rice paddies, whatever it's, and
like Vietnam.
Some salt beaches. Yeah.
Right.
But then the names, like there's different names and the calendar girls look Vietnamese. So, but then, yeah, no. And then, but then the names on the map, there's a lot of military names like Camp Charlie. There's a training ground, Camp Alpha, and then there's other names. I think my favorite one, I don't know, I was making up weird like jokes, but there was this one, like it was some places would sound Cambodian, some places would sound Vietnamese, so I couldn't really like pinpoint it on any one particular just like I said, Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun, but it's PUBG. So, you know, it's going to be glitchy. It's going to be weird. I actually had a car glitch out just like it did in State of Decay where it, once it touched, I had a car go into the water and then it just started just like going crazy and flipping. And, but I like it better than the other maps for now, just because it's so quick. I got my first chicken dinner, and then after that, I played 6 or 7 games, and like we didn't get anywhere close to Inner Circle again because it was just constant dying. You really have to have your teammates back on this one, so I won't be running off by myself. But it's easier to land where you want to land.
It seems like a lot of these battle royale games are kind of just dying. Like if you're not PUBG and you're not Fortnite, you're not making it. Like there's been a lot of like people that have tried and
that's every genre.
They've
ever.
Gotten nowhere.
What you mean, like H1Z1, DayZ?
Even lesser known ones. Like there was one that's kind of like a futuristic type one, and the other one that we talk about, the '80s futurism. The
Elysium,
the one by
Cliff Bleszinski. Yeah.
The one they tried to make.
Oh,
and then there was another one that was kind of like a futuristic, like you're actually 100 years in the future. Cyber,
I forgot
armor,
the one
so.
Where I brought up with the casino. And the flashy Miami.
Yeah, that was it.
That was.
And we still have the other one. The other one's coming down the line where I think Battlefield teased. Or for sure it was.
The genre itself is growing. But a lot of games that attempt it are dying. It's like the MMO equation.
Yeah. Because they're already committed. People are committed to this.
Mm-hmm.
To the ones, you know.
Yeah.
I'm already good at PUBG. Why am I going to go over it? It can't be that much better. Although PUBG seems to be getting a lot of mixed reviews lately.
Yeah, it has. They I didn't should read be... the mixed reviews, but I think it's the overall disappointment of PUBG. Yeah.
It could be their monetization strategy as well. Mm-hmm. They're not pulling in the money that Fortnite is bringing.
It's a couple of things. It's the loot crates that they're putting in there. People are unhappy about the cheaters and the glitches, the bugs.
Yeah.
But I don't... PUBG was just one of those things that blew up. Like, I don't think anyone ever expected it to get this big. Yeah. It was really, especially, you know, Fortnite and Epic that came in and said, okay, let's put some real, you know, AAA polish behind this type of game idea. Yep. So, yeah, I don't know. When I don't play these games anyway.
When I went to TwitchCon 2016, they were giving away copies of, like, the beta invite to PUBG. And I was like, okay, I'll check it out. It's probably just going to be, like, another crappy DayZ clone. And I installed it, played a little bit. I was like, yeah, this game sucks. And never went back to it until it, like, started getting huge. I was like, oh, well, I made a mistake.
Well, maybe the game does really suck, but the popularity is what sells it.
Maybe.
Maybe
we should play sometime.
The thing is, the fun factor for me is still there.
The fuck did you just call me?
Maybe. What?
Sean?
Don't ever. How dare you?
Whoa, Minnie's mad at somebody that's not me.
Only we're in bed.
Oh, my God.
Tonight you call me Sean.
Yeah. But no, it was a lot of fun.
When he said that, I was like, shit, did I call him the wrong name? Because I never call him by his name.
Yeah.
Sorry, John.
All right.
It's hot as fuck in here.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm getting a little warm.
Yeah, summer's coming.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
All right, someone's been playing Smite.
Yeah, I've been playing just casually, obviously. I'm not going to go fucking super serious. I actually don't even play Conquest because I was never good at Conquest.
What is Conquest?
Conquest is their standard map.
Oh, standard three lane. Okay.
I play all the other auxiliary ones, so I play...
what do they have now?
Almost everything that you remember, so I'll just go down the list. They have Arena, which is 5-on-5 mm-hmm. in a gladiatorial, yeah, like arena. A-RAM.
And it's fun.
Yeah. Then there's ARAM, which is all random, all mid. You just get a random god. Although you can trade gods and you can pace a little bit of favor to re-roll it once. And so there's a little fucking around with it, but it's definitely random.
His favorite currency?
Yeah, it's a currency that you get pretty easily.
Okay,
you get a lot of it by winning. That's why I play the way I'm playing. I just play until I win one of them. I get the bonus for winning that. They have so many game modes. So there's that one. There's Siege, which I don't play. That's almost like a mini...
it's like a two-lane conquest.
Like a two-lane conquest, yeah. Right? I don't play that one because even that one's too big for me. Then there is Clash, which is... another two-lane conquest, but it's a much faster pace. I like playing that one. That one's really fun. That one reminds me of a HOTS one, Bobby, because there's a boss that spawns right in the middle. And, you know, you have to manage when you're going to fight that thing. And it has, like, mini boss raid.
Like the fire giant?
Yeah, something like that. But it's in the right in the middle. Like, anybody at any time is... 10 seconds away from it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it makes it really interesting when you're going to move in on it. And I'm missing one.
There used to be a mode called Dominion.
That I think that's gone.
Yeah, they got rid of
that's gone. And I think there's one more that I'm missing, but that's just because. Anyway, tons of new gods, but, you know, just rehashing of different mixes of other ones. One thing they've always done right and they continue to do right is skins. They have better skins than probably any other game. And not just because they're more inventive or anything like that. It's because when you're playing this game, you're playing from a third-person perspective. So you can see these things close up. Any other MOBA, top-down MOBA, you're just seeing the top of their heads and seeing generally what they look like. A lot of the skin is... you know, in the portrait or when you pick the guy, you're like, oh, my guy looks awesome. But really, when you're playing, you're just seeing the top of their heads. When you're playing Smite, you see their entire, you can see everything. You can see the guy that's dressed as a clown stabbing you in the face. You know what I mean? So for me, the skins mean more in Smite because you're seeing the full character models all the time. Gameplay is as good as ever has been. Player base seems to be down. I saw some numbers being pretty low. They lost a bunch recently. I think because they had a big influx. Right now they have 13,000 people playing with.
And that's on Steam.
That's just Steam. The majority of old schoolers, they play off the Smite launcher. Yeah.
Because you required the Smite launcher
back in
previously.
The day.
Yeah, back in the day. What way was, before. It was out for like 3 years before it was on Steam.
Yeah.
Who's the developer?
Hi-Rez Studios.
Oh, yeah, Hi-Rez. Okay.
Yeah, and this is their baby. I haven't played Paladins, even though it went live. I really want to check it out. I just haven't done it lately. And, yeah, it's just a good time, man. For me, it's still the best MOBA, probably just because I have the most time invested into it. Like, if you were going to go down to the nitty-gritty and be like, oh, well, it's balancing and new character development and all that stuff, like, yeah, maybe it's not the best. It probably isn't because it doesn't have the most money behind
it
anymore.
You have to play a lot of a MOBA to get to the point where those become problems.
Like you understand that, yeah.
If this is something you dip into casually, especially in the modes that you're playing,
yeah,
you're not going to see those negative aspects.
It sounds stupid to even say this about a video game, but like I only play for fun, right? I'm not playing to like...
Yeah.
To feel better
so
than
other
So
you play
it players.
Very casually.
Super casually.
That's why I play
and
HOTS.
And most MOBAs are meant to be tryhards.
Tryhards, yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I don't feel that bad when I lose, especially since I know that I'm just coming back into it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you pull off a sick play, you pull off a sick play. I went 13-0 with On Her the other day. Mm-hmm. 13-0, that was That's I fucking awesome. Felt awesome. I was like, I wrecked these fools.
And what god is that?
That is the lion god of...
Greek?
No, he's... Where? Egyptian. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the lion god.
Throws a spear.
And it's funny because his voice pack is like Mufasa. He goes, "Everything the light touches is mine."
That's awesome. The voiceovers are pretty
The voice fun. Packs are awesome. Yeah. Who is it? Osiris Bobby came out with like this. He's some sort of squid. So all his voice back is, he doesn't even say, he goes,
like murky.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's like
That's
a
like
really,
Octodad.
He's like a really, yeah, exactly. He's like a really tough guy. He's not supposed to be weak at
that
all.
You know? Silly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's like a zombie god, yeah. You know, and then he comes out with this funny voice. He was constantly, you so giggle at little things.
Like yeah. Cthulhu yeah. looking.
Yeah, they turn them into, they do a lot of Cthulhu type
well,
stuff.
Okay.
There was a game that kept me giggling nonstop and like grin from ear to ear. I tried out Monster Prom, and before I tried it out, I actually watched my little brother play about 3 hours of it, and it was so entertaining just watching him. So Monster Prom, it sounds ridiculous because it is fucking ridiculous. It's a dating sim competitive and or co-op multiplayer game. Now, when you hear dating sim, look at Minnie. He just gets super defensive. He's like, I don't want to play this
not
game.
Defensive.
It's a fucking
I just get away from the mic because I know
sim.
I'm not going to say anything good about this game.
Well, you haven't played it, so you don't know. Anyway, so with Monster Prom, I had the chance to play it with Bobby. And the game itself, it's a dating sim, yes, but it almost plays like a board game with very, very, very good humor. So when you start it in the game, you get to pick one of four characters. There's two boys, two girls, and I think everybody in the game, unless I'm wrong, is bisexual, so they could swing either way.
Well, when you're a monster, does it really matter?
Yeah,
I mean, they're
true.
Dead.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything goes at that point.
And when you do pick out your character, you also get to choose your name and your pronoun. So you could be a he, she, and or they. And the fun thing about this is... You're a monster yourself. So there's a Frankenstein monster, a zombie monster, a flame monster, and then some mud boy monster. I'm not even sure what to describe him as. He just looks like dirt. And when you go into, what is it, Monster High, I'm assuming, there are...
It's a high school drama.
Yeah, high school drama.
High school is the set piece.
There are six different characters you could win over. Was that... Is that right?
Yeah. We have six.
Three girls, three boys, each with very unique personalities. And you go through a series of stages where, well, the first thing, you start out with a personality test, which gives you a base amount of stats. And the base stats affect basically the outcome of your decisions in the game. So this game, the replayability is huge. The reason being is you can play with different types of players, different personalities actually affect the way the game plays. It plays like a board game because everybody is forced to watch the other person play through their round. And when you play through your round, you get to choose a different part of the high school to go, like the auditorium, the gym, or the classroom. And depending on where you go, you can bump up your stats. And when you go to these different areas, you bump into your the people that your potential prom date. And so you basically play a conversation out with your with the different people in the high school, and depending on what you choose and where your stats are, affects the success rate of it. And so it's a lot of fun, and it is actually challenging because of that. It's not just any normal dating sim. This one is fully loaded with cuss words, drug use, ridiculous like meme talk. It's awesome. It's very modern.
Yeah, I noticed while I was watching Bobby stream it. Were you streaming as well?
Yeah, because we were playing together.
Okay.
Yeah.
I noticed I was watching his stream, and yeah, I didn't notice they were saying shit a lot.
A lot. And like, for instance, the shopkeeper in this game, you know, she's selling a bloody tampon. She's selling cocaine. She's selling a dead corpse. It's fucking hilarious. Nice. It's like almost playing Cards Against Humanity, but in a dating sim version with monsters. But Bobby, beyond that, so as I was saying, you go through these cycles and then you can compete with other people. You could basically cock block people in this game. And so Bobby, describe your first experience with the game. Like, how did it kind of play out for you? Enough of me just describing the bare bone. I want to hear Bobby's experience with the game.
By the way, if you cock block somebody as a female, that's called a twat twat.
Or a clam jam.
Oh, a clam jam. No, that sounds like a gathering of
that's
clams.
That's funny. I'm going to use those terms. Yeah.
So the game itself, it was pretty fun, but it would have been fun with more players. Mm-hmm. I felt like you kind of see through the design a little bit and tell like, okay, if I respond this way, then obviously it's going to earn favor with this character. And you can kind of play it that way. And the best way to play it is just to, you know, just answer honestly and see what happens at that point. The real plus side of this game is in the animation of it. I mean, it's beautifully drawn. Mm-hmm. And the dialogue. I don't know if it holds up. Like, maybe in a couple years, will all these jokes not be funny anymore? I don't know. But the writing's pretty good in it. Good. But yeah, the game, so Chi and I played, and it was very obvious right from the get-go which monster each of us were going after. Mm-hmm. You kind of find one and you're like, okay, all right, then I'm going to do everything to try to get with that one. In my case, though, the werewolf took a liking to me, though, and he just kept showing
up. Go figure. Yeah. Bobby's in-game version of himself. I think it he caught a whiff of Wolverine and he like latched on. So it was actually a male character that was being pushed onto Bobby.
Yeah, they find me irresistible.
And it's so funny because a portion of the game, in between rounds, you have these challenges and or you have mini events. And one event, the werewolf guy, I think his name's Scott, he approaches me and
Scott's so hot.
he's the jock archetype in this game.
Lumber sexual looking guy.
Sexual. I haven't heard that. I like that.
He confesses to developing feelings for Bobby. And since he's talking to me, I have the ability to either help or hinder their relationship. So he's like, I like sports. Everyone likes sports. What kind of sport is Bobby? And the answers were, I could either choose Bobby is like all ball. He's golf, basketball, football, everything you could want.
Yeah.
All together in one sweet ass package.
Yeah,
that you know that would have pleased him. Or the second answer was Bobby is chess. And so I clicked chess. And it totally why would broke you help?
Because he's your opponent, right?
Yeah. You could help or you could hinder.
But why would you help?
You mess up
because
once.
She wants to be a friend maybe at some point in her life.
But you're competing.
But no, not this time.
No, you're kind of not competing because there are so many alternate endings in this game.
I think you can both win.
There's at least 22 endings and over close to 1,800 interactions, different interactions. So you go through all these different events, or 1,800 events, I think that's what they call it. So that's where the replayability comes from.
She hasn't won you over, but it definitely sounds more interesting than it did at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And it's really fun because you can mess up once and you get rejected for your prom date. So my guy I went after was Damien. He's like the angry demon boy.
Is the end game to get a date to the prom?
Look how excited she is.
No, it was so
she's
fun.
She's brimming about dating the bad boy.
Yeah. And
she lights up.
Is that him right there?
That is him right there. And when
there's
you go to audio. There's Scott right there.
By the way, if you're one of those guys that like thinks that, oh, fucking girls only like the assholes.
It's so true. But you play this game and you want to see all the different endings. You kind of want to experience all the different outcomes. I was hooked on a Damien. Luckily enough, when I played with Bobby,
We played together, you went after Damien. And then later I saw you were playing with your brother and I was like, I'll check out your stream. Still going after Damien.
Yep, whole other playthrough. I'm a loyal girl. Loyal to my devil boys, at least.
Many, based on this picture.
But I got rejected by him twice.
The purple one.
After
the bad girl.
He's a tough one.
Is that a girl?
I hope so.
Which one are you talking about?
Well, it doesn't matter. They're all...
Oh, my God. Minnie says he wants to go for the purple one, and it's the hipster vampire, and it's a dude with a man bun.
Never mind.
We all know Minnie's
moving on to,
that's the nerdy vampire. You
totally
got,
looks like a girl.
I'd go with the Medusa one. Sure, Minnie.
Whatever you need to fool yourself.
The Medusa one is kind of the...
I thought that was a librarian bun, not a man bun.
Yeah, she's the emo. She's the edgelord.
I think she's cute. Or the water one.
The one on the left, Miranda, she is like a frog princess or something, but she's like the really rich conceited girl. And then the one that I was going after, which I had an interesting timeline. I was going after Polly. She's a ghost.
Party ghost.
Yeah, she's a party ghost. She's the party girl. Mm-hmm. And she turned me down for prom, yet she slept with me before prom. So
I'm going to win.
Ridiculous.
You call that a win?
I call that a win.
So yeah, when the second
all of the sex, none of the tuxedo.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what prom was for me, right? I mean, that's you go to prom for like 15 minutes, you're like, and back to the hotel room.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, jeez. Right. Well, anyways, so the second game I played where I was going after Damien, I actually got rejected. So that's how challenging it is. After getting him to be
my
friend.
You thought you had him figured out.
I know.
Turns out he's an asshole.
And then when he was rejecting me, he straight up went, it's like, oh, how do I put this delicately? Fuck no. And then he's like, and then in the little picture is me like all sad face, and he's literally flicking me off as he's walking away. And so it's hilarious. It's like I said, it's like playing a really funny board game, but with a dating sim. So.
We didn't have proms in Mexico. What are these things?
Quinceañeras. Saying that right?
I didn't grow up in Mexico.
And one more thing that makes it a really fun multiplayer game is there's these in between round challenges, not just events, where you basically pick an object. Like one of it is pick a food type, and we just say one each, and then it says, and then the next page goes, based on this food type, you know, what would be more hilarious if you had to eat it up until the point you died, or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we would all have to debate and say who won, and then if they win, they get the first turn.
Wait, who debates how?
We all verbally debate, and then we have to pick who.
Amongst yourselves,
pick
a winner.
Yeah, or so if you're playing on Twitch.
You got to be on comms.
That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, you have to be on comms.
That's really cool.
To really play the game. And then that way, whoever gets first place gets to basically choose kind of how the next round goes.
There's opportunity for unscripted hilarity.
Oh, it's all the time. All the time.
It's kind of like one of those games like Quiplash.
Well, you did say Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it does have that element, which is a nice little addition.
Bobby, did you already own this?
No, I bought it too.
How much was it?
$11.99 for this game.
Yeah, I actually bought 3 copies because I was having so much fun. I wanted people to play with. Yeah. I'm like, here, take
it. She gets me to play this game. Like I might as well just install Windows 10 because I just sold out.
This is a perfect, I could see you guys playing this together because you're in it for the dating sim. He likes monsters. And it all just kind of worked out. It's a perfect game for you guys.
Many liked male hipster vampires.
Apparently.
Oh man!
No, it's actually really fun. I had fun with Bobby, and hopefully, at least one of you guys will.
He picked that one because he's the most likely to have $20 bills on him. Look at him.
He looks like a girlish.
No, dude, I didn't see girl for a second.
He is the most effeminate guy on there. Can you disagree with that?
No.
He's got a bow tie. Right.
Where's the
and a man bun?
Okay, yeah, I fucked up. Shut up.
Did you?
I could hate you guys. What?
I mean, you're definitely getting laid.
Yeah, I'm definitely down. I want to play this game when I go home, just because I want to see the different endings. And when you do,
don't get burned on it. Wait till you have parties. It's four player, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to play it alone.
Yeah,
because
you're
going to
burn out on it. And
because the thing is,
1800 sounds like a lot, but you're probably going to go down the same path. Obviously, you're trying to bang the same guy every time.
Yeah, and I have, and I've seen the same responses, which kind of makes it easier to win. But at the same time, it's easy to lose all the same.
Cool. What's next? I guess that's me. Battle Chasers Night War. I've already covered this, but when I did my fresh install after Bobby put my new computer together, I was like, oh, remember this whole bullshit thing that I had about like, I'm only going to have 2 games installed at any one time? Honestly, I only have about I guess
this guy looks like the guy from Berserk.
Like 8 or 9.
This straight up looks like a Berserk commercial.
Yeah,
yeah, that's that one
Fist
character,
of the North Star, maybe.
So, in case you didn't listen to that one, or probably weren't listening, this is all based on a comic book from Joe Madureira. He was known as Joe Mad back when I was like 20 in my early late teens, early 20s. I thought his art was like the shit. He was my favorite artist, and so when he came out with his own book. He's like pretty immature. It's all like the chick has super big tits. The guy's swords are giant. You know, it's all like teenager stuff. This is the chick with gigantic tits. Like she would not be able to flip like that with those tits. I'm telling you. And they're smaller in the video game than they were in the comic. They were ridiculous. They would take up the whole page. And so anyway, I did love it because of the art, but the comic book was in the story, right? Anyway. When I saw the game came out, I was super interested because, you know, maybe a bit of nostalgia, but really because mm-hmm. I really enjoy the art. Not expecting much, and I got a really good turn-based RPG. Nice. It's very much...
turn-based.
Yeah, it's... just think...
Those titties are just all over the place.
Just think of, like, Final Fantasy. It's a Final Fantasy clone, but I believe it comes from an American developer or THQ Nordic.
Yeah.
Is that...
they're pretty well known.
Yeah, I know.
That's a publisher.
Where are they from? Anyway, it's not a Japanese game. And my big problem with JRPGs is, for me, the stories always end up being convoluted and more complicated than they need to be. Like, there's so much, like, side knowledge that... Basically, this is a JRPG, not from Japan... And it's basically like, we got shot down. Let's go find the bad guys and kill them. And it's very simple. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need a bunch of story. I don't need...
So it's a lot of combat. There's not a lot of downtime in between the battles.
Yeah. It's pretty much all battle. The only time that they do, like, interactions between the characters. And I thought it was a great time. Every time you sleep in an inn, which is something you do in RPGs all the time.
Yeah.
At night before they go to bed, the characters talk, and it's really personal stuff. And okay. It's like even better than
this. Actually, if I were to there's saw an other RPG, stuff. I'm looking it up right now. That it's more like outside of Final Fantasy. And when I find it, it sounds exactly like what this game is here. With you get to know the people in your group.
Suikoden.
No, Suikoden, you had to recruit like over 100
people. So many people.
This one here, I remember specifically during combat, in order to execute your higher level abilities, you had to do...
Combos?
Combos. I think it's Tales of Ligeia.
Huh.
Did you ever play that the ball I RPG made off. By people made Bastion? That's like kind of passing ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You played that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I played
that.
It off of your account.
Okay, did you get...
Pyre.
Pyre. Did you play that significantly or just...
I paid it 50% of the way through.
Oh, yeah. So you understand, like, at that... There's a certain point, or just a little spoiler. There's a certain point where you kind of have to, like, pick somebody to
send. Maybe I didn't get that far.
Okay. Well, the game is, like, you're kind of, like, in a purgatory.
Now we're... In case nobody's paying attention, we're now talking about Pyre.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know why I'm bringing this up.
No, it's okay. Because
the interaction between characters... So you're in a purgatory, and you're like fighting other people in the
purgatory to get out.
And
potentially,
yeah. Once you go to like a let's say like a playoffs type thing, you pick one person who you're then going to send out
to ascend.
Yeah,
to wow,
and that they're gone.
And you hated that.
That's why I stopped playing the game. What I did is like, but you know, dude, I don't want to miss any of my characters, so I'm just going to lose all the playoff games, and then that team is going to send one of their guys. I'm just going to keep my guys in my purgatory.
You rather
keep them all in purgatory than send anybody out. Yes, my selfish ass.
Wow, dude.
I fell in love with like all these characters, and I didn't want to lose them all. So I wanted to see. I wanted to see what the game would do if like I lost every
before
major
this
battle.
Podcast started. I would say you were the most likely one to go into a zombie apocalypse. Like if I was going to pick one of you guys,
yeah.
Which one am I going to take? Now after this story, it's clearly going to be Chi.
Okay. Just anyone, not me, really. But yeah,
I feel like Chi would just bite zombies' heads off.
Maybe. I don't know. Well,
I couldn't do it, man.
Or Devil Boy Dicks. One of those things.
Sure.
I'm into it. Anyway, just to revert back to the game, I would compare Battle Chasers to what you let me know about, where it's not as diluted and with, you know, side stories or anything else. It was Tales of Ligeia, but more specifically Ligeia 2, which is the second version for PlayStation 2. So I played both of those games. I played a lot of RPGs growing up.
All right. Well, everyone's comparing this game to other games, I'm reminded of Shantae, A Pirate's Tale, except instead of
the genie girl.
Yeah. But instead of attacking people with your hair, you just hit them with your massive tits.
Yeah. That's what I. She's not even a big character.
I've never played this game. Yeah, I know. I'm just
I would love to play this game.
Here.
To be honest,
if you like titties,
I actually probably will be playing this game because I'll have this laptop on me looking for a good game, and yeah.
And on top of everything else, it's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, it is.
Look at this art,
it's
guys.
Beautiful.
It's all handmade.
I want to play it just because of the graphics alone is awesome.
If I had one thing bad to say about it, it's a grind. But what JRPG isn't? You know what I mean? Like you
that's
just
the good thing about
JRPG.
No, it's not.
We won.
Oh,
it just goes
on,
over
I like
and over.
It.
The worst thing about JRPGs is grinding for hours.
But that's what I'm used to.
And that's here, for sure. Oh, what I do have to say is, like, if you get a sword and, let's say, plus 10 to attack, it is noticeable.
Okay.
Even a little bit, you can see it in the next battle. That's the good thing about the repetition. Any little change is, like, really well noticed. Anyway, I'm not going to say it's the best game ever made, but between the art and not having played a JRPG in a long time, and having a little bit of nostalgia for Battle Chasers, I mean, I love it.
Really good reviews as well, all around.
Yeah. Yeah, very rarely do you see recent reviews being very positive.
Recent.
It sounded like you said, very rarely do you see racist reviews being very positive. And that is true.
That is true.
Very true.
I'm operating on multiple levels, Bobby.
All right. Well, those are all the games we've been playing this week. Sounds
there's
like
no combo
kind of busy
system.
Week.
I don't know why she thought that.
Oh.
Anyway.
Let's talk a little news, and then we're going to get to that giveaway. We'll take a little break, but if you're hanging out with us on Twitch, then you can take part in that giveaway. First up, Sonic the Hedgehog is getting a movie starring James Marsden.
That's the guy from the show.
Westworld?
That's the one.
Yeah. So I recognized him as Jack Lime from Anchorman 2. That was the only reference point I had for this guy.
Who is he in Westworld?
I don't know. Well, fucking guy.
Yeah, I don't watch that show. But a Sonic the Hedgehog movie, and they've got an actor in there. So what is this going to be, like Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, totally going to be a Roger Rabbit type, like cartoon versus with live action.
Hmm.
Okay, as a Sonic fan.
Yes.
What percentage of Sonic stuff is good?
I think like the 90s. Talking about games?
Just everything.
I will say like the 90s cartoon was garbage.
Okay.
Sonic, for anything on the Sega Saturn was bad.
Okay.
Anything that wasn't on the Dreamcast that wasn't Sonic Adventure was bad.
Okay.
So probably
maybe
like 20%? Maybe like 30-40% of Sonic is
30-40%.
Yeah.
I'm just going to now and movie. Let's talk about the movie. You know what I mean? Like going in.
Because you can't compare the games to the movies. But here's what I want to know. What is the story? What's the lore in Sonic?
Can you explain?
To go fast. Honestly, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean,
like Talladega Nights?
The lore of the game was to Dr. Robotnik. Oh, the original game, Dr. Robotnik was capturing forest animals and turning them into robots.
Mm-hmm.
So Sonic's quest was to free all the forest animals.
Okay, got kind of a green activist undertone there.
And was he born with super speed hedgehogs that fast?
They didn't really go that deep into it. He wasn't like a mutation or something. He
was I wonder what they do with the story here. Like,
why are there nipples
on
the screen?
About Sonic.
Nipples?
Oh, never mind.
Oh, that's just shiny. He's shiny. Sonic is shiny.
On the right, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, those are speakers.
You thought I'd talk about Sonic's left nipple.
No. Okay. Oh, yeah. Look at that. It's shiny.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, so is his head right there. He's good.
Yeah, but why right on the nipple? I guess he doesn't have a right nipple. All right. We're getting off track. Every review has to do with tits. I'm sick of you guys. Disgusting individuals.
So I don't know. They listed some people involved, but they haven't really given much. Oh wait, they had like a release date. Is this going to be a theatrical release? Are we
probably
gonna
not
see this in theaters?
I doubt it, but I don't know. I read was yeah. this.
Gee, you know more than me. Who is James Marsden in Westworld?
James
He's
Marsden.
The actor. Come on, chat.
His face.
Who the fuck? Do some work, man. And don't just give me a character
name.
Oh,
that's Teddy.
Oh, yeah. He's the bad guy, right?
No, he's the extremely loyal.
Oh, right. Yep.
Save the princess.
He's a cutie, isn't he?
No, I like the McBoyle better.
Oh, he was also Scott Summers.
Yeah, from Cyclops. X-Men. Awesome. Oh, yeah, he is good looking, though. I won't deny that. Teddy's good looking.
Really interesting thing in
Are
Deadpool.
We not doing that... the zoom in, super zoom in, Bobby. Oh, that's what I was expecting. Yeah.
By the way, that did really well on Instagram.
I didn't find any super high depth pictures. But.
Okay.
In Deadpool 2, I thought it was really interesting that at no point did they make... I mean, they made so many Easter eggs.
Right.
I saw a video said 1,000 Easter eggs, right? This is reference things.
Yeah, just the whole game, right?
Yeah.
But what were we saying?
That they never referenced... You know, Cable being the son of Cyclops.
Yeah, Cyclops. And I was
Cyclops
like...
And Jean Grey.
Yeah, I was expecting that. And like at the end of the movie, I tell my girlfriend, it's like, so that guy, Cable, he was like the son.
Yeah.
And like they're in the future. And like I had to explain the history of Cable because they didn't even touch on that. Yeah. It's just like some guy that...
Chicks love it when you explain comic book lore.
I'm sure she was so wet when you guys got home.
I felt cheated.
Yeah.
Like I felt like that was an integral
at
part
least,
of the story of who
at
Cable
least
was.
There was room for a joke there. Like Scott Summers walks in and he's like, you know,
yeah.
Get out of the way, kid or something,
right,
you know what I mean?
Shit.
Yeah.
I was, you're right. I should have told that to my girlfriend, but I was sad, man.
Bobby never got into comic books, huh?
Very few. Judge Dredd, like the old ones.
Very interesting.
Yeah, love that comic book. The Walking Dead. There was a period in time, I think around 2011, I would come home from work and I would just read The Walking Dead comic books. From like the moment I got home from work to the moment I got to bed. And I went through, I think there were about 100 of them out at the time. And I went through all of them.
Did you buy the graphic novel that comes as 1-50? Is that what you did? Or you had the actual comic books?
No, I found them online.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever read the comics of
X-Reader?
Ender's Game?
I didn't know they had a comic.
Not me neither.
I followed the little black kid that was an outcast.
What was his name?
What was it? I can't remember.
Shit.
But yeah, it was a full graphic novel that followed like his story alongside Ender.
That's really cool. I read a lot of manga, and then the only real comic I would say I got into, like almost finished Preacher, which is now an AMC original.
Asshole Face. Or what's his name?
I forgot his name, but
Yeah. Do you guys know about that character?
Yeah.
No?
Took a shotgun to the face.
Yeah, he tried to kill himself, so he shot himself in the face, and now he has an asshole for a face because he lived through it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a real person?
No, it's a character.
Yeah.
In what?
Preacher. So he eats through a straw kind of thing.
Oh, in Walking Dead? Yeah, I never watched it.
Mm-hmm. Preacher, dude. For the fourth time.
Oh, Preacher. All
right, move on. Wash.
I hope I said manga.
Are people
not
listening
manga.
To this? Are you putting them through this?
What happened?
Thousands of people. Are punching their whatever devices.
All right. Just kicking their speakers in. I can't take it anymore.
Okay.
So and in my defense, there were flesh-colored speakers. That's why I was confused.
Dude, you're taking it way too far back right now.
All right. Sorry.
All right. So we always love talking about Evolve. Apparently, Evolve is finally calling it quits. They're shutting down their dedicated servers and the free-to-play branch in September.
I remember you always had a quote on the original, not the original, but one of the earlier openings. It's a worse idea than Evolve 2.
Yeah.
Because that was, I think for all of us, that was the pinnacle of overhyped. Like, we were all just so stoked about this game that it came down. We played beta. We played it in open beta. And we're just like, something's not right here. Oh, yeah. It was
really
bad. It was bad.
Not that. Okay. I believe that what they had presented was worthy of the hype received. They did not deliver on the potential.
Yeah, I mean, it was the guys who made Left 4 Dead.
They had everything going for them.
I had a lot of fun with this game for about 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I had fun for this for like 2
It was gorgeous, too. Graphics were fantastic.
Yeah, the graphics were great.
Yeah.
I had a tough time running this game when it first came out. Like, I couldn't run it with all the eye candy and resolution turned up.
Yeah, I think I was running on a 760, and it was definitely pushing it.
But yeah, they tried doing the whole free-to-play thing, and now they're just pulling the plug. I mean, this is eventual. What's weird to me is to read that it was released in 2015. That's like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That's insane. November 2013, I think.
Late, yeah.
Like, shit.
I tried so hard to like this.
I think we all did. It just didn't come together, man.
I kind of liked it. When the new characters were coming out, yeah. There was different ways to trap things.
It wasn't bad, definitely. But
fundamentally, it was flawed.
I never played enough of it, but I know that... I think I knew I wasn't going to like it, and I didn't want to be disappointed, so yeah. I just stayed the fuck away. And I have played it, and I did not enjoy myself.
I'm going to wrap it up in one sentence. I think it did poorly because adults don't play hide-and-seek.
Oh, maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, if hide-and-seek was that good and nuanced, we'd all be playing it as adults, but nobody plays it anymore. You know what I mean?
This was the first...
Or maybe we just get too big to hide behind the toaster or whatever it is.
This is the first game that I played or that I bought to hide behind the toaster. That I bought from a G2A, that shady website.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember...
What happened to them? I feel like they're...
They're still around.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I remember when I got it, like, they gave me a CD key, but it was really literally like somebody took a picture of a CD key on their camera phone, and like they stole it from Target. It worked. I was like... Yeah, but when I got them, like...
From Target, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a stolen physical copy. And I was like, okay. I mean, it worked, but...
Oh, by the way, so somebody comes on to the Hangout on our Discord, and they put a picture of exactly what you're talking about, like a picture of the back of a thing, and back of a game. And somebody's like, oh, Flying Hawaiian's like, can we help you? What is that? Yeah. And then he's like, this is the game that you guys sold me. And the code doesn't work.
Right.
And then he's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I said, oh, you're probably confusing us with DL Gamer.
Yeah, there's DL Gamer.
DLGamer.us. You were affiliated with them for
like
a month.
Yeah, 2 months, 3 months.
Something like that.
And, I was like, I think you have the wrong place. And then Flying Hawaiian tried to tag him in the last day. Hey, I think you're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
But then it comes up in grays, right?
Okay.
When they're not there. And yeah, he had already vacated when he realized his mistake.
Wow. Yeah.
That's my
first time that's ever happened that we've gotten confused with them.
I like, so this is the way I think versus the way Bobby thinks. I saw dlgamer.us and I was like, oh, it'd be so fun to do something with them because we have a similar name. Bobby's like, that's going to cause nothing but problems. And he was 100% right.
Like, mm-hmm. Can we talk about what the problems were? Because I remember like you were affiliated with them and then you weren't.
Well, it's just confusing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, hey, dlgaming.us, but don't forget dlgaming.net is us. And it's just like, it causes unnecessary problems.
I thought we were talking about like pseudo...
Oh, no. They...
Like
were
legal action or something.
No, not at all. They were just not managed very well.
Okay.
Yeah. And they were French and it was hard to speak French with them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's take a break.
All right.
All right. Congratulations to the winners of those games. Had 7 games that we gave away. Some pretty good ones too. Moonlighter, Wizard of Legend, and Pharaoh Steve taking the big prize there with a double copy of Wizard of Legend, and we'll be playing his selected track at the end of this. So if you want to listen to the entire playlist, where's that going to be? Discord?
That's on Discord in our music channel.
I think it says a lot about our podcast that we didn't, that Destiny 2 with the DLC pack was not our grand prize winner. It was Wizard of Legend, 2 copies. Not because of monetary value. It's like, I think it's kind of where we sit as a podcast as well, you know? It's just like, we're here for the... we like the indie stuff is just as much as the AAA stuff.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So, we're going to do some listener questions.
Ooh, is that a new segment?
Yep. Brand new thing we're trying out.
Can you talk to your brother-in-law about some bumpers?
Yeah, most definitely. I can follow up on that.
Okay.
For what? Right.
Okay, I promise.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, first
that
question.
Doesn't mean anything. You just handed me a wooden nickel. I promise.
I actually see him at the end of the month, so
good.
Before the end of the month, at least.
Cool.
All right, so first question. This is from Sniper, who asked this a week ago, but we really didn't have anything to say about it then. He says, what does everyone think of the new Solo film and the new Star Wars films in general, 7-8 and Rogue One? So has anyone seen the Solo movie?
I've been trying. Bobby, did you see it?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably and, the only one then.
Yeah, I'm probably going to watch Rogue One tonight, too. I'm still going through
You've
all
never
the
seen
Star
Rogue
Wars
One?
Movie. I have. I'm just watching all the Star Wars movies in chronological order.
Now, Bobby, I have a question. Obviously, you've seen them all before, except for Solo. What do you think about that chronology? Like, does it add more, or does it take away more? Or are you thinking more about story arcs? Like, you know what I mean?
It helps
because, like,
it helps some things make a little more sense, especially in the prequel area. Like, if you watch those in succession, then go into the next one or the next series, then yeah, it kind of makes a little more sense. The last time I did this, there was only the prequels and the new movies out there. So, yeah, I don't know. There's many different ways to watch it. There's lots of different lists out there, you know, the Machete Order, the Rister's List.
What are these lists? No, please.
There are different ways, different orders of watching them.
No, got it.
Some of them have
but
things
cut
out.
Okay. What are their ideas on why you
should
watch them different
ways? Well, there's one that treats, you watch A New Hope, you watch Empire, and then you find out Luke is Vader's son, and then you watch...
Whoa. You said that out loud? Can we clip that?
Oh, man.
Okay.
But then you watch the prequels as sort of a flashback, then continue on with Return
okay.
of the Jedi.
I can see that.
One of them just cuts out the Phantom Menace entirely because that one's not really necessary to everything that happens.
It really isn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of an origin story, but it doesn't really add too much to it. I mean, they basically just find Anakin.
Had you ever thought about what is he trying to say about the whole thing of the midichlorians got her pregnant with Anakin? Do you think like
a biblical analogy?
No, not really. But maybe like...
Well, virgin birth.
Yeah, virgin birth. But okay, so balance needs to be brought to the force according to the midichlorians, right? So maybe it was way too much on the good side and then they had to... The midichlorians had to rush.
See, that's the thing. They thought Anakin was going to bring balance to the Force, defeat the evil.
But he did.
Well, did he or does his son? Like, was Luke the person we were actually waiting for?
No, I think he swung it back the other way. I think it was balanced.
I don't know. See, all this is addressed in The Last Jedi. That movie I'm excited to watch again, too, because they're saying, like, you don't read into any of this. Like, who gives a fuck about the sacred texts? Like, none of that shit matters, you know? The Force exists outside of... our understanding of it, you know. So,
except for one thing. One thing I think we can all agree on. This is all we're talking about fucking some other, I don't know. I'm getting super serious about something that's not real, but we can all agree on that it should be in balance. And I think Anakin brought
it. What do you consider balance?
Equal dark and light.
So dark and light balanced?
Yeah.
See, the new ideology I think that The Last Jedi was trying to push was... dark side, light side, it doesn't matter. The Force is just the Force. How people choose to use it is their own interpretation and like whatever they're coming up with in their head. But that doesn't, you know, there isn't like some yin yang thing that's trying to be balanced. That's what I got out of The Last Jedi.
You might be right. I missed that.
And people were talking that Luke was a gray Jedi. Like he wasn't light, he wasn't dark. He was like in the middle.
And maybe that's what he's pushing with this whole.
That's why he was like wearing gray, and that's why he was just secluded doing his own thing because he wasn't trying to like push any
agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
I don't know. But as far as the Solo movie goes, I enjoyed it because it's Star Wars. I enjoy Star Wars regardless of how good it is. Ever since they started doing all these movies, I was a little worried that they were going to get the comic book treatment. And Solo really felt like that. It felt like a comic book movie, but in the Star Wars universe. It was just action, 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 action. And it just, there was diminishing returns. It got kind of old as the movie went on. You know, there were so many moments where it was just like, oh no, are they going to make it out of this? Of course they are. Oh no, are they going to make it out of this one? Yeah, they do.
Howard's getting old?
Or, Howard, well, he definitely is getting old. But
no, I know, like, but do you think it's affecting his directing ability?
A movie like that, you can't
really pin on one person. So many hands.
Yes, you can, dude. No. It all falls on the director at the very end. He's in the cutting room floor.
I mean,
he's
the producers have the final say. They're the ones putting up the money for this. The producers, the people who are
investing. You think they have the final say at the cutting room floor?
Absolutely. They're the ones that give the notes. And then, yeah.
Not on Ron Howard, though. I don't think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone. Like, the people who write the script. I mean, we talked about, you know, how we made our intro. That was a collaboration of three different people, you know.
And two of them not knowing that it was a collaboration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think about a movie. Look at all those credits that go down there. I mean, there's so many things that go into this. No movie can be pinned on one person.
And in case you were wondering what we're talking about, it's our intro and Ron Howard's films. Mm-hmm. We're comparing those two right now.
Same level. Yeah. But the surprise cameo in Solo kind of bugged me because I read an interview or some article where the guy said, well, you know, they all have surprise cameos and twists. So, you know, we had to put that in there. I'm like, what a fucking stupid idea to do something in a movie. Well, all the comic book movies do.
I read a headline that said the best part of Solo is the cameo.
Yeah, and then there was an article that said the worst part of Solo is the cameo. I mean, you can't trust
any of
those articles.
So where'd you fall on that? The cameo? I don't know what it is.
The more I thought about it, and I'm not going to spoil it, but the more I thought about it, the more I was annoyed by it. Because they basically said, hey, remember this guy? Everybody loves this guy. You forgot about him. Now he's in this movie. And then I'm like, well, how is that going to tie in? Like, later in the story, is going to be in the Boba Fett movie? Do we find out what the point of that was? And it's like, fuck it, dude. You like that guy. We're throwing him in there. Buy a ticket. Like, that's what it was, man. It had nothing to do with, like, this will make an interesting story. We'll have a tie-in here. Like, none of that, dude. It was just like, people like this shit, you know? They have cameos in Marvel movies, so we need to have one in our movie. Like, that's
why did Stan Lee not have a cameo in Deadpool 2?
He did. He was spray-painted on the side of a building.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't.
Yeah, a lot of people missed it. He wasn't live in the movie, I think. I'm pretty sure he was. I saw it.
Or is he just like so underplayed that people didn't catch it?
No, people would have caught it. They draw attention to that. But yeah, so that the Solo movie, just like a little too much on the action, like too many like, oh shit, are they going to make it out of this situation? And it's like, we're still in the second act. Of course they are. There's no tension in the movie, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing about Han Solo. So the movie's about his origin story, and they're kind of playing up this idea that he's actually a good guy. You know, he's an outlaw, but he's a good guy. And that kind of negates from the fact that, or from his arc in A New Hope. Because in A New Hope, it's like, yeah, he's just in it for himself. Then at the very end, he comes in, you're all clear, kid, you know. Yeah. And
classic.
That loses its impact if we know, oh, Han Solo is actually a good guy. We already know that.
She has no idea what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. She's like,
yeah, Star Wars. Like,
What happened to Monster Prom? Shit, I can't wait to see it. Honestly, I don't care if it's bad.
Like, yeah, all that aside, I totally enjoyed it. I mean, good. It's Star Wars.
Good.
I loved Lando in it.
And, can we talk a little bit about Childish Gambino / Donald Glover? Like, how fucking talented is that dude?
Oh, he's amazing.
First of all, he's apparently the takeaway star from Solo. Like, he robbed the show. That's what I heard, Bobby. I don't know. Like, he was better than the other
people. He's very entertaining.
And apparently he's he's pansexual.
In the movie, yeah. He has a
he'll bang anybody.
With his robot.
Yeah.
There's like not a physical relationship, but there's kind of a love affair there.
Yeah. And he's got the number one, it could have been the number one movie in America. He has got the number one
meme in America.
Song.
Meme.
Song. And his show is, he has an Emmy for his show. It's like, fuck, dude.
What show?
Like, Calm Down. Atlanta. Oh. It's really good.
Never heard of it.
Check it out.
All right.
It's on FX. That's why you haven't heard of it.
Okay.
Moving on.
All right. Enough about Star Wars.
Every time Star Wars comes up, it goes 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But rightfully so.
Next question from Spewbaca.
Nice.
Have you guys checked out Dauntless yet? The beta started this previous weekend and is a lot of fun. I downloaded and installed Dauntless. Have not had a chance to play it yet. I'm not that interested in this game, but I feel like I should check it out. So I don't know.
No, dude, it's cool, man. Like, it's just raid bosses, you know? And it's four people?
You're up to four, I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
I think the hype from it, or the publicity from this game, is coming from Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
I think, like, once Monster Hunter comes, nobody's going to play this anymore.
That's basically it.
I'm pretty sure that's what's going on here. Like, the game's not bad, but it's not really memorable.
For me, it's not worth the install.
Whoa!
I'm looking.
Not worth the install. That's
I
ever played a Monster Hunter game?
No, but I'm excited for Monster Hunter. I've watched a couple Dauntless streams, and it looks all right. But considering... But it came
out, it's like super early access. You know, like,
I know.
It was an alpha, right?
When we played, correct? It was an alpha, yeah.
Alpha. Gee?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, you can't judge it on that. Play with us. See what what's going on. I we had fun because it's like... Okay, an MMO is a congregation of a bunch of people that put in hundreds of hours to go do this one raid boss, right?
Yeah.
But think about like a game that cuts out all the hundreds of hours and you could just go straight to the raid boss with your friends and you have to think about what you're doing without giving rent away.
It just doesn't look very challenging. And
it wasn't.
We're
playing in alpha, though.
And it's, we're playing on easier mode
that
in alpha.
That could be a huge issue, though. Like Slick Rick is saying in chat, it's repetitive. And I've heard a lot of people say that. And
there was only three monsters who we fought.
Yeah.
It's okay to be repetitive, alpha, though, if it's challenging. Like, but that's...
It's more of a skill-based than gear-based. Like, you got to, like, time your attacks and do dodging.
Which is
like, if you have, like, awesome gear, it's really not going to save you that much.
It gives you just like, look a 5%
boost. Yeah, it's not giving you a whole bunch.
It's an open beta.
It just
so
doesn't seem that rewarding,
out.
Then, if it's not gear-based.
Alpha, guys.
That's the best part I like about this is not gear-based.
Yeah,
like,
wouldn't you rather be rewarded for what you do rather than what you have possibly done? It's all about the loot.
Forty-man raids for nothing?
Yeah. There's no raid. It's just like you're just there. I don't know how to explain it to you guys.
I could try it out, but I thought I would be interested in this since I am interested in Monster Hunter World. But after watching people play it and looking into it myself, I'm not completely sold on it.
Are we in beta yet?
I don't want to disappoint myself.
I think it's open beta. Mm-hmm.
Open beta
right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Officially open beta. That's the big. That's what we're.
It'll
talking
cost
about.
Me nothing to try it out, but at the same time, I'm like meh.
Play with us.
The first week it came out, there was like a 90,000 person queue to play this.
Wow.
I think the PC players are hungering for a Monster Hunter. And, this is our gateway.
We don't
have
a lot of options on PC.
This is our gateway drug.
All right, next question. Shadowmaster asks, what is the perfect gaming mouse and keyboard to pick up for someone new?
So, Cheap Chef, I think. Somebody new. It depends on your... budgets, but
well, here's the deal. Like the mouse that I recently got was $43, which is cheap for a mouse. I used to spend like about $80-$100 on a mouse, but $43 for a mouse is cheap to me. And that's a Logitech G Pro. That's like a pretty good mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And if you never bought like a good mouse, quotation marks, you don't know if you like light or heavy or what you really like. So maybe one with a lot of options might be the right choice. There's a lot of mice out there that have weights that you take out of them. Especially the Chaos Spectrum that I had. It had a ton of weights that you could just take out or add however you liked and then get a feel for what you really like. I personally like a heavy mouse. I put all the weights in it. Because I'm strong as fuck. Hashtag cool steel.
And I'm quite the opposite. I like a really lightweight mouse, and I like a uncomplicating mouse. Mm. My brother is probably among the lines with you with buying the... For me, I consider them almost over the top, but with the weights and like the... it's like an overly accessorized mouse, in my opinion, where you could transform it in a sense, like the Transformer mice. But those are generally a higher price point too. Like I feel like for those type of mice, it's 60 up at least.
But it's weird. It's like, how do you know what mouse to buy unless you've tried a heavy, medium, and I say one that's adjustable, and then you'll know for the rest of your life, I guess.
You
adjust or whatever.
You kind of grow into it, too.
I used to like heavier mice, but I don't know. Now that I've gone lighter, I feel like I much more prefer that.
Hey, Bobby, in a recap now, you said that you had more potential with this mouse that you wasn't used to. Did it pan out for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way that you saw it? To my new mouse.
Okay, totally. And do you think that you're actually, you know, one... MS better than you were or whatever?
Than my old mouse? Yeah.
Yeah?
It good. Feels so much more... Like, first of all,
it's probably a cheaper mouse, too, right?
My hand hurts less now from using this mouse. And I think that might be a size thing, too. I don't know. But yeah, my hand hurts less and I feel like I'm more accurate.
I heard a lot of people from Sice as well. I understand.
Does anyone here have a wireless mouse?
My brother does.
My old mouse. I used to, but I never disconnected it.
My brother does, and it would die on me. So I don't like wireless mice.
The 602, the G602, I just got this, or I've had it, but it's my only wireless mouse, and I just not having to deal with the cord, I love that.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, cable drag can be an issue, but for me, I had a wireless mouse, this one right here, in fact, and I never unplugged it. And a wireless mice or a wireless mouse, it's like, dude, where's your mouse going? Like, is it going to take a trip or something? My mouse is never leaving my computer. So
mine was purely because of cable drag, because I just hated dealing with that. Like, I'd always have to like adjust it and like.
It's really interesting, man. Because I think that could have come down to the model. Because when I had my Chaos Spectrum, it's wireless. Literally never unplugged it because the wire was so light as well.
Okay.
That I never felt drag ever.
Oh. I don't get drag with my mouse either. And I use the
they have little things you can buy.
Those where little stands.
It lifts the cable up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's almost like a mount for a mouse cable. Like the professionals do. Like the Overwatch competition,
they all have them. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And with me, though, the only thing that bugs me about my cable is that I eat at my computer desk. So I will knock the cable of my mouse against like a bowl or a cup or something like that. But that's me. That's all just placement. It's not the actual merchandise itself. So as for wireless mice, I have used them in the past and I have had very frustrating moments.
Are you bringing mouse and bowls into a mouse review? I'm just making sure.
Huh?
You're putting like how much noise your mouse makes on a bowl or a cup.
No, the cable drag. We were talking about cable drag and things getting in the way.
I'm super
drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So, and then, so with wireless mice, at Pivotal and even with my headset, at very important moments, especially considering how long I can sit down and play video games, I've had things die on me wireless. And it just ruins everything. I have to run off, replug something in, and it doesn't work right away.
Oh, yeah, we know. You always come in here, and the first thing you do is plug in your phone.
So, I need wired things for reliability and sustainability.
I'd like to make a new podcast rule. I want everybody to come in with fully charged components.
It's impossible.
Because they all run through my chair. So, Minnie's currently charging his thing. It's going across my spine. She's charging her phone's going across through my balls, between two of my balls. It's rough.
It's a catheter.
She's rough around here.
Two of them.
Two of the three.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Bullstone asks.
Wait, we didn't actually answer Shadowmaster, did we?
Mm-hmm. Like, watch that G Pro. That's the way
I say go cheap.
And keyboard?
Keyboard, who cares?
But I know Shadowmaster's asking, so like spend $50 total for both. You'll be fine. It's not
Logitech is a great brand.
The difference between the top and the bottom is like you're talking about percentages within a 15%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's all you're talking about minuscule amounts of improvement.
Yeah.
This is not something you should be concerned with.
I feel like there a lot of the accessories. That's all just like preference. It won't actually change too much of your gameplay. Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bullstone asks, I'm sure this has been asked before, but what game do you enjoy the most in co-op?
Deep Rock.
Deep Rock, very popular right now. I'm noticing a trend in co-op games about this. Like, I don't know. Deep Rock is maybe a little more challenging, but Sea of Thieves is a good example. These co-op games that are just very casual.
Let's go camping together.
Yeah,
you know, like very casual. Mm-hmm. For me as well, it's Deep Rock. I feel like a fucking whatever repeats itself a lot because while we're playing, I'm like. Guys, I'm having a really good time out here. And I feel like I'd be... I said this every time we talk about Deep Rock. But last... Was I not... Do I get... Am I a broken record? Or am I just...
I mean, it's always
something new. Are we all feeling it?
Yeah, definitely feeling it.
Yeah.
And
like, it's a really good time.
Are we touching tips here, bros?
And it feels like lightning bolts.
Whenever I ask Minnie to play a video game, I'm like, where's your hermano? Let's get a game in. He's like, no, I won't play without my hermano.
What hermano? Me?
You? Yeah.
I never heard of this. I know we were brothers.
Minnie, no, Minnie's always around, and I'm like, Minnie, will you play with me? He's like, is Emilio gonna play? I'm like, I don't know where your brother is. I'm sorry, I didn't know you guys were
I think you're saying things that aren't true right now. Fake news.
If he was my brother, he'd be a parasitic, like growth. That I had out of here, like a really small version of me.
These things are so true, by the
Hello.
Way.
Hello.
This really.
Hi, I like to talk on the podcast.
Damn it, Emilio.
Who's in South Park? Who's the guy with the like little baby on his neck? I forgot.
Isn't that the nurse?
Oh, it's the nurse. Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry, dude.
Let's see. Chat's mentioning the forest. I wonder where that game's at, because when I played that in alpha or beta, that game was real rough.
The other day, I was like, I'm going to play the forest right now. Bobby, we don't have family share. I don't know what keeps happening, but we got to figure it out.
Set that back up.
Third time.
I tried playing that game that you talked about last week with the Planetary Annihilation.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
I have no family shares. They all got wiped since the reboot. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Once you reformat, you got to redo it.
There's a survival game that was 2D that was actually a lot of fun. Survive. Together, something.
Don't Starve?
Don't Starve.
Mm-hmm. Don't Starve and Don't Starve Together was the multiplayer version of it. That was one I felt like I didn't spend enough time with. Like, I played it a little bit. I'm like, this is really fun. And then, like, someone had to drop out for whatever reason. But
that's really rare that, like, Bobby thinks something's really fun and I don't. I don't. I never got the Don't Starve thing.
I never played it. And my answer is so
that's something you and Max could play with. Don't Starve Together and have a good time, I think.
Yeah, that is a challenging game.
I'll consider checking it out after Divinity. I love so many different types of co-op games, but undeniably competitive team-based shooters are my favorite.
Co-op, I think what they're saying is like
PvE.
PvE, I think.
Really?
I think Divinity is probably your answer, if I were to guess.
Well, Divinity is pretty hardcore, and yes, I love that game. It's the perfect co-op RPG in my eyes, but I have a shit ton of fun playing Overcooked and Monster Palm and things that are very much like couch, very acceptable casual couch co-op games, which is really fun. As long as you're working together and there's a lot of social improvisation.
Yeah.
Involved.
No, looking at the show notes, I just realized that we completely skipped over Factorio that I've been playing. That was like the one
next
game
week.
I've been playing a
We're
lot.
Gonna save that for next week.
Well, you fucked that segue.
Whatever the opposite of segue is, that's what you just did.
Yeah.
That was just a brick wall. I was just like, says, like, oh man.
Minnie's trying to put toothpaste back in the tube, and he's like, it's really like I'm getting groups of it, and I'm squeezing it, but it's coming out.
I figured she was done talking, so I had my chance.
Oh,
I
have
a toothpick. It's really hard to find a place where she's going to stop talking, and I can get something in. So I just have to get it when
I can
take it.
Why did you fucking interrupt that 15-minute conversation about Star Wars?
Because it's Star Wars. Man, hey, we got no Star Wars there.
Yeah. No. You were too busy going from 6 to 12 when we were talking about Monster Prom. That's why you forgot
that's
about it.
That's probably what it was once I saw the vampire guy.
Welcome back to Sexual Tension Cast.
Stravinsky asks, what kinds of games could you see yourself playing using the streaming app on a mobile device? I own an NVIDIA Shield tablet that's had this capability for a while, but I haven't really found a good use for it. UI is too small, and I prefer the mouse.
Why has he got to put salt in the wound, man?
What?
Stravinsky, I got a fucking iPhone, dude. I can't do this.
With a Shield tablet, I've never used one, but you don't see a lot of those anymore because... I don't know. They didn't really catch on, and now they're going to have that Steam app where you can basically do the same thing, unless you have an iPhone, apparently. But I'll give you a few games. There's actually some really good ones, because I don't like mobile games, and there are a few that I do enjoy, but they tend to make their way to Steam or PC, and I end up just playing it on that. But they would still work on a smaller screen. Any of the Go games, Hitman Go, Tomb Raider Go, just simple puzzle games. Love to play that between matches of HOTS. North and South, which is a remake of an old Nintendo game. And you have to look for games like this where they take in mind the fact that it's going to be played on a screen, probably a touch screen. So they design the game around that. And then there's one more. What is it? 80 Days. That's another good one.
I think Civilization would be great.
Civ?
Yeah, definitely.
That seems like it'd be hard to control stuff. Mine's...
It's a turn-based. Like, you have all the time in the world. Tablet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, any game that doesn't require,
as if a phone could handle a Civ game, though. That game's pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah, but Shield Tablet streams.
Yeah, but it's just a straight stream.
But yeah, the, maybe a game
all
like
the computing's
that
happening
is
on, like, on the server.
Oh,
side.
It's streaming. It's just that's
showing
awesome.
The, yeah, showing the visuals of the game. And the input commands go back to the game that's, or the computer. But, yeah, a game like that where you don't have to have, like, reaction time, I guess.
Yeah. More like turn-based
strategy,
stuff.
Puzzle games.
Battle Chasers Night War.
Yeah, turn-based strategy. Yeah. You guys got any other recommendations?
I'd be playing all... I would play all of my farming simulator games on my cell phone.
Oh, you know what would be good? Darkest Dungeon.
That's easy.
Yeah, turn-based.
Or RPGs would be good for that, too, yeah.
Mini?
Civ. Civ 5.
I'm too drunk to answer the question. Or even understand the question, so... We're just going to move on.
Yeah. If you could take a Steam game, put it on your phone, what would it be?
But I was wondering the other day why Binding of Isaac isn't on mobile yet. I mean, it's super easy control.
Yeah, it is weird. It would be.
Is it shoot? Oh my God, my dog is attacking somebody. Up, down, left, right, and shoot.
Yeah.
That, I think that's it. Oh no, and like two auxiliary.
Movement controls are hard to do on a phone. They'll do like the fake D-pad, like where you press virtual buttons and those never feel right. Like, you got to have the tactile feel. You can use a remote with it, like a Bluetooth remote.
Yeah. Why is it? It makes no sense that game's not on there. For future reference, all listener questions, just put right before you're going to send it to us, say, can Emilio say Binding of Isaac for the answer? And if so, rewrite your question, because that's what I'm going to answer for almost anything. And what's next?
That's it. That's what's everyone playing next week?
Battle Chasers? Is that the game you're talking about?
Well, the RPG you're going to play it?
Yeah.
I don't think this can handle Battle Chasers.
You don't think so?
Well, maybe.
It handles Div 1.
There's
Divinity Original Sin 1.
So. Oh, yeah. You should be fine then. Yeah, Battle Chasers is good. I'm going to be playing... What is that game that we covered in the show notes? The one that's four-player...
Eden Rising,
or what?
Eden Rising Supremacy, the tower defense.
If somebody else will join me, I'm not going to play it on my
own. How about you join me in Monster Prom after this?
No.
I tried.
How about we have a VR Pro?
We should have a VR unboxing right after this, because I have no idea.
Yeah. So. I think we're going to have to do something midweek for this, because obviously Bobby has to put all the wires together, and we have to have all the fun.
Oh, so, yeah. Yay.
So, yeah.
All right. I don't know what I'm going to get into this week. I installed a few games that I wanted to complete. I'm very close to finishing 12 is Better Than 6. I'm like right there. I probably got less than an hour worth of the game left.
What's the difference? I mean, what's that last hour? Is it difficult level or is it one boss that you just can't get right?
Not a boss. Okay. The difficulty is ramping up a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm through all the outposts where you can get upgrades. I think I am, at least. So it's just a matter of getting through the last couple levels here.
Yeah. I'm glad you like it. How do you like playing as a Mexican protagonist for the first time?
Yeah. I mean, you're playing like the... he's not really a good guy. What do they call that?
Right. An anti-hero.
Yeah, he's an anti-hero. And you can totally tell, like, Mexicans did not make this game. The dialogue is all fucked up.
Oh, same thing with fucking State of Decay. Mm-hmm. I picked the Mexican guy because he was, like, good at fighting and terrible at everybody else. I was like, perfect Mexican, right? And so I start picking it. He's like, don't worry, SS. Like, I got this shit. And I was like,
oh, man.
Cringe worthy, eh?
Oh, no.
Funny that I like that. Yeah. My response was as racist as the original.
You don't see a lot of Mexican protagonists. I mean, you have Guacamele, and then you got...
That's it.
We got 12 is Better Than 6. They do have some good levels, though, where you're like working through, like you're moving your way up through a train and there's people come by on horses. So it is getting better. It's better than my initial review. But I'll finish that, and I might just try to plow through Call of Duty Ghosts. Like, just get that one off the list.
I don't even remember what that is. Is it a sniper game, Bobby? Like, Ghosts? Primarily? I feel like when I read the reviews, it was
it's
like a sniper
super
game.
Standard, super forgettable. It was right after Black Ops 2, which I actually really liked.
Super standard, super forgettable, right up my alley.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been sitting there. Like, I'm halfway through the game. I just want to, like, get it on that completed list in my student library.
Remember when, what's the name? Team Tom had that clearing out the backlog.
Oh, yeah, the backlog Steam diaries.
Yeah. It's cool. Chi.
I think I would like to start a game that has an ending. I've been playing a lot of games that just...
It's a solid statement.
Yeah, they're all games that open-ended. Are online, open-ended.
Work.
Yeah.
twerk, and zug, no payoff.
No, but anyways, yeah, I might just start. I don't know what, but I would like to play a game that has an ending.
Good.
And make it to the ending, sorry. Highlight that. Beat a game. Maybe not in a week, but get close.
All right. Speaking for Bobby, Chi, Minnie, and myself, prom, but still legal titties, like barely 18 titties. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Hey guys, Manny Del Macho here. I am live with Duck. How you doing, Duck?
I'm good.
Awesome. Good to hear, man. So how long have you been a listener with us?
Oh, that's actually a question I wasn't expecting. ever since I started playing PC games, I decided I need to look for some podcasts on this. And ran across a bunch I didn't like and found you guys. And well, what makes a podcast is how the people gel together. And I like that and kept listening.
Really? Even how Chi and I have our relationship. That's kind of
a little strained.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was when you were only spoken of at the time.
Right. Yeah. Back when, old Chad was still around.
Post Chad. I've never listened to an episode with.
Oh, okay.
The one who doesn't get named.
Yeah, the one who shall not be named, Chad. For some reason, I'm still known as new Chad, even though like I think I've gone through my paces on this podcast.
Yeah, sometimes things like that just stick.
Yeah, man. I hope
Trust me, I know.
Let's hope that doesn't stick forever, man. I'd like to, you know, become my own entity. That'd be really awesome.
Yeah.
So, like me, tonight you are also drinking tequila, yeah?
Yeah, I had some earlier. I do not have the bottle next to me, so I can't answer any questions about that.
Oh, no problem. Well, what were you drinking? Just straight shots or mixed margaritas?
Oh, it was... My wife made me some margaritas, and I haven't had a drink with sugar in it in a long time.
Okay.
Not a fan.
Right, yeah, it doesn't messes with you?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
I gotcha. So something that you probably weren't going to bring up, but I want to bring up, is that you also have a podcast called Angle of Attack.
Yeah, it's a little more niche, a little more nerdy. We deal with model airplanes, helicopters, things like that. Once again, in like the tech segment of it, but a lot less mainstream and a lot less widespread appeal.
Right.
But we've got our loyal followers.
Yeah, I was listening, and I was listening to one episode, and I had no idea how many laws there were around that. A lot of regulations, and a lot of it seems like self-imposed regulations.
Yeah, we do self-regulate a lot, mainly because being responsible with things that have the ability to do property damage is wise. But we get a lot of people that are flying things just for the purpose of having an aerial camera.
Okay.
And they're causing a lot of problems legally for people that would like to just fly for the fun of it.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. It's, you guys, I like how you guys, really, you mesh together really well. You're like, what I would call a bunch of good old boys. Like y'all from like the East, Southeast, and even you're like the Northeast, right?
Northwest actually.
Oh, you're Northwest.
Yeah. I'm north of you guys.
Okay.
Up in Vancouver.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Just straight up north.
Yep.
All right. So now you're really into sim games, I've noticed. Like, I don't think I've ever seen you play a game that wasn't a sim.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I've been watching you play some things here and there on Twitch.
Yeah. Yeah, everything from, like, Subnautica to Farming Simulator to Stardew, Factorio, all over the gamut, right?
Yeah. And today I was just watching you play a game called Raft, was it?
Yeah, Raft. It's a game finally actually released on Steam. Before it was there, it was a lot more clunky, and it was on itch.io.
Okay. Well, it's browser-based games then.
No, not browser-based. Itch.io, there's a lot of games where you can download, and it'll be either free to play or sometimes donation-based.
Okay.
Very much like shareware, very very indie games.
Gotcha. You want to talk a little bit about Raft? Because I thought it was really interesting. I've never seen anything like this.
So Raft is an on-the-water survival game. You start off, I believe it's like a 3x3 platform. Call it 3 meter by or 3 yard by 3 yard for you guys. And you have nothing. You have like a hook, a plastic hook for throwing out and dragging garbage back in.
Literal garbage.
Yeah, it's literal sea trash. And what you're trying to do there is be able to upgrade everything and build your raft up. I've only got maybe a couple hours into it, into the final, well, quote unquote final version. It's still early access on Steam.
Okay. It's just a side note here. I'm currently looking at it. It's $20 on Steam.
Yep. I'm just starting to upgrade the base, be able to, what your base is, your raft. But starting to get so I don't have to be hooking this stuff in and I don't have to spend my time doing that. Just like a lot of these other games like Stardew will do that with watering, where they start to make things easier to get. You do quality of life improvements. Mm-hmm. So now there's nets that I've got around the side of the boat and it's picking up the garbage and I can just go collect that rather than having to actively hook each individual item.
Right. Okay.
There's fishing involved and there's always sharks circling and they're just jerks. They're trying to wreck your raft. They're trying to hurt you. And food and water is a big thing because being salt water, you can't just drink that. So you have a distillation apparatus and you distill water. So it's fresh water that you can drink. And you also have to cook your food to be able to actually get benefit from it.
How do you cook food on a raft?
There's a little grill that you can make.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now there's, of course you're saying sharks and I saw you, you fell into water at one point. Is there ever a point that you like actually want to get into the water?
There's a few points, at the islands, you can jump in the water and there'll sometimes be scrap around it. There's seaweed, things like that, clams. It's also one of the few places where you can get sand and, clay to be able to make bricks.
Okay. Yeah.
I haven't figured out what you need bricks for yet.
Maybe a sturdier craft. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. But yeah, this game really looks interesting. Almost makes you want to play it, and I don't even play sim games.
Yeah, it's definitely multiplayer-based. You can play it single. But I was playing it multiplayer earlier. The people I were playing with, they ran into some internet issues, as can happen, especially for other streamers.
Now, is this co-op only multiplayer? Or is there like kind of like a PvP-ish type thing or try to wreck other people's raft?
I haven't figured that out yet, but there is an option to turn friendly fire on.
Okay.
So who knows, right?
Right. And what about weapons? What kind of weapons can you make?
Currently, it's just a wooden spear so far.
Okay. So far, only that. Now, onto yep. another game, like, you're definitely into a lot of niche things, because I saw you playing Farming Simulator, and, like, that's not a lot of people can understand why someone would want to, like, go to work all day and then come home and then, like, pretty much be in a sim of working more. So, what is your appeal to that?
Okay, you know when you get a phone and you peel the plastic off the phone?
Yes.
And it's just perfect?
Oh, so pristine.
Or you can get the point where it, like, tears the edge, you're like, oh, it just ruined it.
Oh, yes.
That's what Farming Sim is like, because you can do everything so perfect, and then you can, like, miss a little spot of the field, and it'll bug you. But it's just that feeling of satisfaction when everything just goes right. It's a nice, mellow way to end the day.
All right.
Rather than get yourself all gunned up playing a first-person shooter, running around and stressing about that, right?
Oh, yeah. I definitely understand that.
I'm sure everybody that's listening is familiar with the smell of gamer sweat.
Right,
because it's different. That stress is different. And you just don't get that with something like Farming Sim. You're just nice and mellow, chilling, listening to some music, playing with some friends, cooperating, working together, having a good old time.
Yes, I can definitely understand why some people want to play that. But you also play Factorio. Now, I just got this game yesterday, and I think it's awesome. Like I said, I don't play sim games, but Factorio is awesome. I'll probably be talking about it on the podcast a little bit more. But we also have Captain Gummy and Cricket Soldier. Captain Gummy's making a server for us. You want to play with the crew sometime?
I do. I just actually got a message from him, and I'm just replying yes.
Awesome.
I've been playing for... Oh, geez. That's before I even built this PC.
Wow.
I want to say 3 or 4 years I've been playing Factorio.
It's been around that long.
Mm-hmm. Is it finally out of early access?
I
had never gone on
sale. It's either just out of it or it's still in it. Let me check on that. It is still in.
Yeah.
But I think they just raised the price because they are expecting to come out really soon.
Yeah, I did notice that. Because for the longest time it was, well, whatever it is in US, it was 25 Canadian for pretty much ever.
Okay.
And I think I'm 125 bucks into that game.
Wow.
Because I've bought it for so many people.
Oh, yeah. that's awesome.
Be like, here's a gift. This is 1,000 hours you won't get back.
Right? Yeah, I just did that to Ghost Nico today. Sorry about that, bud.
Yeah, it's... it kind of jives in the play style that I enjoy. It's all well and good, like couch co-op games where you're battling against each other. That's fun and everything.
Right.
But I think when you can get a group of people together and cooperate towards a common goal.
Especially like getting such a perfect running factory like this game. It's definitely a sense of satisfaction.
And there's multiple different ways you can build that factory. You can build spaghetti factories. You can build bus-based factories. Like, I'll show you guys.
Now, a spaghetti factory, what is that? Because I think that's what I'm building by accident.
That's generally what everyone will build. A spaghetti factory. In Factorio, you have conveyor belts. And that's your main way of moving things around because you don't have to go out and power each block individually.
Right.
But as that goes around, you'll think, okay, I need a factory here. I didn't allot for this space. So I'll just move this belt over like two blocks and I can fit this little assembly machine. But then all of a sudden, this just looks like a bowl of spaghetti that's poured out onto the map.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, but it's awesome. That's a way some people try to play. There's people speedrunning this. I saw a guy beat it in less than 2 hours.
Yeah, Captain Gummy was saying an hour and a half he saw somebody beat through this game. That's amazing. Have you ever played a game called, what is it called? A Dark Room.
Not yet.
So I believe that's what Factorio is based on, because it's an ASCII browser-based text game. So you don't actually see any action, but it tells you about it, it narrates it for you. And it's basically the same premise. Like, you crash land on this planet, you try to figure out how to make things, and by making one thing, you can make something else better, and that just keeps on building. Instead of having machines, you have workers that, come to you for shelter. And then, the end game is basically going, getting out on a spaceship.
Yeah. So, for people that haven't messed with Factorio, that is the end goal, is to build a rocket to escape. Friends and I, we joke that it's called the America Simulator because you showed up somewhere and you take all of the resources and put pollution.
That hurts, but it's fitting.
Kind of. Or Civilization Simulator in general.
Yeah, I've actually been comparing this to, the fun factor is something that I had a lot with, Civ 5, because I constantly want to get that small tech upgrade, just that one little more, and keep going. That goes on for hours.
Oh, you'd be amazed at how much energy you can actually put into a factory just to process the science.
So I found that out last night.
You're making these science files, and they have to go into the research facilities, but it's not just the energy that the research facilities run, but it's all of the factory that's making those science files. And each level up gets exponentially harder and harder and harder. And it's a deep, dark hole to get into that game.
Yeah, especially the research. The research can take forever, especially when you get into later levels of research. It's crazy.
Yeah. So there is an achievement to get, which if you're game for it, it can be a little difficult, but it's called the Lazy Bastard Achievement.
Okay.
You're only allowed to craft 120 items, period, in the pocket. So in the pocket, that's like not having an assembly machine put it together.
Okay, wow.
Which, when you think about it and actually start playing it and looking at it,
oh yeah,
and you realize how much you do in the pocket, you start to realize how difficult that is.
I can imagine. Like I can create 120 items in like 10 minutes. That's crazy.
Yeah, but now every time you need to create an item, you have to go place an assembly machine, and you have to have arms to put things into it, and an arm to take things out of it.
That's definitely a lot of forward thinking.
It is. It is. And one of the guys I gave the game to, he's quite into the video games. Like he collects all the old consoles and everything like that. And when I was visiting him last weekend down in Georgia, we're just sitting there and he beats Mario 1, 2, and 3 within a couple hours.
Wow. I don't think I've ever beaten any of those.
Yeah. And he's got a mind that just follows how the game mechanics work. So it's awesome watching him solve these problems. And I was playing through the Lazy Bastard playthrough with him. And it's actually easier with more people because each person, when you start up, each person gets the starting items. So you can process more materials quicker.
Oh, yeah.
But every time any individual crafts something in their pocket, that counts towards the total for everybody.
Got it. Okay.
So it can be more difficult that way if everyone's not disciplined.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be playing this game a lot more. I'm still going to tutorial because there's a very lengthy tutorial, like just introducing you to the game. From what I've heard, the tutorial wasn't there at the beginning when this game first came out, but now for all of us noobs, it's there.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever played the tutorial. It was just get thrown in and good luck.
Yeah. That's how I felt about They Are Billions, man. That game really needed a tutorial, but I toughed it out. I played the game without watching any YouTube videos or anything, and it was definitely a crazy learning curve trying to figure that game out.
Yeah, RTSs are rough. They're not really my thing. I did play back with my 486. I remember playing the original Warcraft demo. Came with some PC magazine or something like that.
So yeah, you're definitely an old school PC gamer, huh?
Yeah, but since that point, I took a break until 2008, I want to say.
Wow. Long time.
Yeah.
Were you a console gamer or were you just not gaming throughout that time?
Just not gaming.
Gotcha.
I've had a PS1 and I had two games for it.
Oh yeah, wow. You're not gaming at all.
Yeah, pretty much.
What else have you been playing?
I played a lot of Ark.
Okay.
And that was when it was fun with the friends and you build up and do things. Eco was fun. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
Maybe. Oh, you're talking about the ecology-based game or the old Japanese RPG?
The ecology-based game.
Okay.
Where it's a really small world. And the idea is you have to build enough technology to save yourself from the meteor that's going to destroy the planet.
While also not destroying the planet yourself.
Bingo, because you can just end up polluting it. That's another thing. Have you noticed that in Factorio? Pollution is kind of a thing?
I have been told that, but through the campaigns I've been playing, I have not been introduced to it.
Because if you pollute too much and the aliens notice, they come and attack your stuff.
Yeah, in a lot bigger waves.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. Oxygen not included and Don't Starve. Other games I've been playing. Once again, kind of sim and strategy style games. Don't Starve I love because you could play it with friends, and you can either work together or you can battle each other any way you want to play it. It's very open.
And what is oxygen?
Oxygen not included. How that works is there's a 3D printer that prints duplicates, is what they call them. And these duplicates are your workers, and you're micromanaging them. And they're underground on some unnamed planet. And there's all this weird stuff you end up digging through. You have to create enough food for them, enough oxygen for them, and enough water. You have to take care of sanitation, electricity, heating, cooling. Like, it takes into account so much. Like, every piece of machinery and every person contributes heat into the system.
Okay.
So you can actually overheat a lot of things and cause damage to the equipment. So there's a lot of thinking that goes into it, or you get to do a lot of reactionary engineering.
Okay, so it's like a lot of preventative maintenance or cause the problems and then try to fix them?
Yeah, it's like if you end up causing the problems, the only real fix for it is you rebuild it with better materials.
Okay.
So say you have pipes going through made of sandstone, and then you overheat it and they start breaking down. You now have to start building them out of granite or obsidian or gold or something like that.
Oh, wow.
But obviously those materials are much more rare, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Duck. Yeah,
it's cool.
It's been really awesome talking to you. Glad I got the chance to do this. Do you mind if people contact you if they have any questions for sim games?
Yeah, no problem. Easiest way is going to be to find me on the DL Gaming Discord under the name Duck.
With a duck picture, a little 8-bit duck. You have Mallard, actually, right?
That is the one.
And you can also find him on Twitch at Squadron of Idiots. Any other social media you're on?
Yeah, any of that is listed on my Twitch page.
Okay, so twitch.tv/Squadron of Idiots. What is with that name?
So, currently it's just myself streaming on the channel, but I do have a few buddies that are interested in streaming with. So it's like, well, we could be a squadron of idiots.
Okay, when they get to it, huh?
Yeah. Well, if you claim you're great, you have a lot to back up. If you claim you're an idiot, it's pretty easy to solidify that reputation.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Everybody's an idiot at some point, huh?
Oh, yeah. You just accept it. Just roll with it.
Perfect. All right, Duck. Thanks for talking, man. You have a great night.
No worries. You too.